I need a new pick, and I don't know what I want.
It'll come together.
Will it? What are words now? For?
No,
absolutely
countdown?
Nothing.
Oh.
What
are words for? Just start recording now. I have a sync track. I use it to synchronize everything. You don't have to do a countdown.
Daniel acts like he's never been on this show before.
It's been a while.
I don't make my hosts have to like think about math and things like an inconsiderate bastard. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to WTF at TFW for episode 183. After being short man last week, we are now going to be up two mans this week. Joining me today, as always, is Gog Dog.
Hi.
Was it cold last time?
It felt pretty good, actually. Sorry.
But, are you saying that I'm...
Welcome to 2012.
Are you saying I'm not a source of warmth at all?
The odds here. I mean, well...
I'm nothing warm at all. I'm just a cold shell. Bring no light to the room, and everyone hates me.
When you came down to Florida in 2010, I did feel a bit of a chill around you. I think you brought some of that.
Oh man, it's because I'm
Canadian
an agent
aura.
I'm an agent of Nocturnal. That's why. Also with us today is Seth Buzzard.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey. Hey, no, during those like awful ghost hunting shows. Like, cold chills are often indicators of ghosts, so maybe you're haunted.
Oh, man, I would love to be haunted. It would be great. Get stuck in a car, get stuck on a train, have nothing to do. Ghost just pops out of your stomach. It's like, hey, yo.
That would be an awful haunting.
Oh, yeah, I'd want to have
it. Supposed to be scary. They're not supposed to be, like... just chilling out.
I want a ghost who's just like he was lazy in life. In death, the higher powers said you were such a sloth, you must now haunt somebody, and he just chills out in that person's stomach and just like whatever.
I want a lazy slacker ghost. That died in the 90s.
That's right.
So hey man, is Nirvana still together?
Like no, they're not.
And then he goes, oh, that's a bummer.
Also, bringing us up to four this week, I know, I also lost my breath for a moment, is the god-d-damned Proto-M-Man.
Bringing the cold down to Texas come April 2012.
Oh, you're going.
Of course I'm going.
Yeah, I'm probably going too.
How are you so far behind on who is going where? Like, a few days ago, you were so...
He's too busy with Skyrim.
He was so surprised at finding out that Josh Perez was going to TFCon when that's been open knowledge for like a month.
Because I have a science when it comes to Josh Perez and TFCon. It's that usually Alex Milne is at TFCon and there's like an unspoken law that they can only meet each other face to face every like 5 years. So
it's like the Olympics?
Yeah, I just assumed we were still in that window where they're like magnetically unable to be in the same city.
But yet work on everything together.
How do magnets
exactly
work?
They work because of magic. The top part is a believer and the bottom part is not. And so they are opposed to each other, but attracted to have debate.
Because opposites attract, like they say in that song.
That's how magnets work.
The one with the cartoon kitty.
Yeah, it's just like that song. We are here today to talk to you about Transformers, though, and... guess what? There's still more BotCon news because BotCon is the time when they are pushing out as much news as possible because they are doing registration. They want to have the ability for people to actually see what they're getting before all their registration disappears. So we had a couple things come up this week. I want to open up with my favorite part of BotCon news this last week, which is the Nick Roach Gigatron art, because we have all hotly debated that Gigatron. I believe a lot of the folks on this podcast found it quite lukewarm at best, myself included. I had all these ideas of how it could work, but those would involve third-party heads, which is not a very good thing to say about a toy where part of the focus is the newly sculpted head. But Nick Roach did a piece of art for it, which I think was fantastic, because guess what? Nick Roach knows how to do art really well. Unfortunately, it takes enough liberties with the toy design to make me go like, and this art also really makes me wish the toy didn't look the way that it looks, because he shows Gigatron to be this tall, lithe, skeletal warrior licking his samurai blade, and that's awesome, except that that's not what the toy looks like in its physical form, which only makes me kind of bummed out, because I really would, if the toy looked like the art, I would love it a whole lot, I think, in some way, and as it is, I'm still just feeling like, yeah, I'll probably own it and not hate it, but it's not going to be a highlight of my collection at all. Not the best Overlord Gigatron that ever has been, but now it has really good box art, if that's on its box, in some way. So I want to give props to Nick Roche, because as I've said about him before, Nick Roche is great at taking something I don't really feel that good about and making it look awesome, or be awesome. But in this case, it also just kind of highlights, I think Random Factor was talking about it on Twitter, because the dude talks about stuff, and he mentioned that the art kind of highlighted that the toy is so wide that it messes with what the art is getting across, and I could not really disagree. But did any of you guys check out this Gigatron art? GOG, I know that you and I both dig Nick Roche type stuff.
Absolutely. I think Nick knocked the art on this out of the park. It looks great. I mean, when people think of Overlord now, that this is the Overlord that they think of, and that's exactly the angle that they're trying to go with this. I mean, right at the top, different universe, same Overlord. And I wonder when this image was solicited. It would probably be a little going. I think it would be false speculation if I was to say like, oh, they had him draw this up real quick to.
There's no way.
Yeah, but at the same time, like part of it, like the whole like different universe, same Overlord at the top. It just seems to be like, hey guys, we know you don't think this is Overlord, but guess what? It's Overlord.
Do you think that the Overlord toy might have had a slightly less reactive reception if we'd seen that art first and had a few days to digest it?
I think it would have been a
I think we would have. I think it would have gone over better. Yeah. Mm. But I agree with you completely that this art looks great, but it's the liberties that it takes. And part of that too, to be fair, is Nick Roche's style, because he takes liberties on his own. So I definitely think that that's his flavor with this. I don't think he's purposely trying to romanticize the figure beyond what it's supposed to be. I just think that this is his personal take on it. But yeah, I agree. If this is what we had gotten in toy form, yeah, okay. But it's like, yeah, it's a great piece of art. It looks great.
Yeah.
But I don't think it helped. It doesn't, for me personally, it doesn't really help me warm up to the toy anymore.
It helped me warm up a little bit, but it also made me say, like, the toy is not this art either. It's not making it. It certainly isn't making me go like, okay, now this is the best Overlord I could have ever gotten, because it, you know, it's got its problems. But I'm not going to be upset if I own it. Seth, will you be upset if you somehow continue owning an Overlord even if you sell it and someone just gives it back to you?
So mad. I'd be like, no!
Inflamed with a Slim Jim fueled rage that would make the gods shiver.
The sky's the limit.
It'd be all unacceptable.
Legends are true.
But yeah. No, the art's cool. I'm still not sold on the whole overlordedness of it. I mean, that sells me more on the Giga part, but again, I mean, that's not what the actual toy really truly looks like. So it's just smoke and mirrors in a lot of ways. Smoke and mirrors.
Proto Man, I know that on Twitter you were not hating on this Overlord all that much. In fact, you seem pretty cool with it. How are you feeling about the art?
Well, I'll be honest. When the Nick Roche art kind of dropped, I was kind of like feeling, oh man, did like Pete or someone phone Nick in and go, look, they're really hating on this toy, and we need you, because you brought Overlord the hotness, so we need you to like turn something out really quick, and then we're going to totally just put it all in their face and go, see, this is your overlord. Deal with it. And that, honestly, I honestly thought that that's what happened. Now that I think about it, though, it's possible it was something that pre-exists that was drawn before. But like going off what Gog said, that, you know, new overlord, same universe or whatever, that part there I think was tacked on.
Yeah, I mean, that part did make me go like, oh, this seems reactionary. But I do not think there's any way that a good piece of art could be turned around that fast and colored fast.
That's what I think.
I've seen some artists do pretty fast work in the past. But
It doesn't seem like the kind of thing that you'd like. It didn't seem realistic to me for Nick Roche to get approached and go like, hey, listen, we're getting all this trouble. Can you make the toy look good? And then like, you know, I just don't think that.
Yeah,
that would have happened.
I think that's how it played out. Is they had probably already commissioned this piece of artwork by the time they had it available and ready. Yeah, by the time they had it available and ready to go, they kind of tacked on the whole same universe, different overlord thing. Like before they put the troll face out.
So. how I kind of view it is like for the two people who haven't read Last Stand of the Wreckers, you know, like how spoiler. Overlord gets all like cooked and vaped, and everyone makes their speculations. Oh, well, see, he got, you know, like melted down to a skeletal form, and this Overlord is kind of like that new version if there was a Last Stand of the Wreckers part two or a continuation of that story.
Yeah.
So, you know, but at the same time, going off of what he all said, when you look back at the toy after looking at this art nice and hard and making all your, you get kind of go, oh. And it's kind of like, If they showed this art first, and let's say they showed this art first, and we had no idea what the bludgeon mold was like, right? Because already we would have been like, "Huh, that's kind of wide for the bludgeon mold." I think we would have been very disappointed.
I think if we all had bludgeon in hand, it would have at least had us like look at bludgeon and go like, "Oh, okay, I see what they're going for. This is kind of wide," but I think it would have warmed up the idea a bit more rather than people kind of looking at the toy and then getting like just that first turnaround and go like, but what, huh? And then having to be shown
extra photos.
I think
people would have like made the Fatimus Prime joke, like, you know, Energon Optimus. Like people would be like, what happened overall? Why'd you get so fat? You know, or so. I don't know.
He's old.
I think Vangelis's idea of doing Giga and Mega as a tank and a jet that's a really good idea. And if they just stuck with this being Giga and just said this is Giga from the beginning instead of it's Giga the Overlord, it's actually Overlord, it would have worked better. Because when you're trying to sell it, because even like this thin, like swordsman version of Overlord, still it doesn't invoke the big giant dude that originally Overlord was. So
clearly in art style it doesn't represent the combined giant robot, the original G1 character, the character in Master Force, or even in, you know, Last Stand of the Wreckers with Nick Roche's art, it doesn't so much reflect that. But as a standalone character of Giga, which Giga in Master Force, if again, and the worst part is it's so hard to know what they really were going for with this.
I tried really hard to get, I mean, I say tried hard. I asked like three times on Twitter to get a more solid answer on like what they were going for, but unfortunately I wasn't able to.
Because like Giga in Master Force has a sword. The human has a sword. Granted, it's more of that Arabian Knight kind of like gigantic, you know, sword. But he does have a sword in the show. But is it based on Giga? That tank mode definitely looks like the original Overlord toys tank mode even. And same thing like in Master Force. You know, hey, are we going to get a Mega down the line? Is she going to look more Cinderella-esque like Mega does in the show? Is that what they're going? That's the worst part, is we don't even know what the author intent is.
That's what I really wish I knew, because that helps me. Like, if I don't like a toy up front, if I know what was being gone for and I hear it from the people making it, I can more easily, like, at least come around a bit. But
right, but the whole purpose of this poster is to say, that's not who that is. This is IDW Overlord. Like, yeah, it's a different universe, but this is the same character. Remember that character from Wreckers? This is what we are trying to go for.
Yeah,
this is him.
And if I can pretend that that's not his real face and he's wearing a mask and he's all busted up and skeletal underneath, then I can deal with it. But giving him a clean face like that, I think it's like it starts to be the Wreckers thing, and then it doesn't. And I'm like, eh. But I just...
Well, my guess is they wanted to do Overlord. They wanted it to be a big blue tank. They decided the tank to go with was the Bludgeon tank. They couldn't use the name Overlord flat out, so they used a name that was related to Overlord, and then just tried to make it fit. Like, well, we just gotta make it work because this is as close as we're gonna get.
The name thing stems back quite a bit to Heroes of Cybertron.
But yeah.
I think Gog talked about that last podcast anyway.
Yes, the first U.S. released Overlord toy we ever got was the PVC, and they called him Gigatron in that, so that's where that's coming from.
Okay, well, so they couldn't call it Overlord, they called it Gigatron in reference to that. Then they sort of retconned their own backstory when someone put together that collage that had Giga in it, so now they're claiming that this is more inspired by Giga, even though it was supposed to be a reference to that PVC figure. So they're desperately changing their own story to make it fit.
Well, there's been two backpedals already, so I'm just kind of curious what the comic is in the end.
Really, you know? I just want to hear from the folks. I want to somehow hear the thought process that went into it before the reception.
They said that that's all going to be given at BotCon. If you go to the club panel, they are going to explain all the decisions behind every toy.
I'm going to hold them to that if I can.
I mean, at this point, we're kind of just spinning our wheels. It's like this is almost like the third show in a row where we've all kind of said the same thing. So
yeah, I want to move along to the new toy that got revealed because we did get to see the last member of the box set, which is Metal Hawk. Let me say up front, I actually would. I am totally cool with owning this toy from the neck down. I think that the sans the head. It looks really striking. It looks a whole lot different from Sky Shadow and Thunderwing. It looks very dynamic. It's kind of like with Gigatron. They are both toys that, color-wise, if they just showed up in the main line as redecos, I would probably pick them up and be happy with them. The problem is I don't think that's necessarily a compliment about specialized convention toys, but that really is up to what they would like to hear, which is probably just that, oh, he wants to buy it. But color-wise, like, I really like the blue. I like the color placement all over the thing. I think that the red is striking. I think the jet mode looks a whole lot like coolness. I like the chest. Unfortunately, it seems that my fear was correct, which is that, I don't know if like, you guys who own Classics, Generations, whatever, Thunderwing, he already has a really tiny head, and I was very sure, I think I said this actually in 182, that I was really sure the head sculpt would suffer for being Thunderwing, because it's already a tiny head, and they're trying to do it as a human head wearing a helmet, which is going to make the head look tinier, and I was just worried that, my main worry was, I was worried he was going to have dot eyes, like he would have two dots for eyes, and that would have really put me off, but thankfully, he has painted whites on his eyes, and that is great. The problem I have with him, though, is that it looks like he doesn't really have a lot of sideways facial structure under his helmet, which I think I said on Twitter. It makes it look more like he's a guy who pinned a human face to the inside of his helmet to cover his own face, because there's no cheekbones. But I don't really hate this thing. I think it's cool looking from the neck down. I would not be bummed to own it, but it's kind of another case where I look at the head sculpt and go, like, I feel like they tried something and it didn't work, and I really wish that they would have been able to go, like, all right, that didn't work, what can work? Because his head looks tiny, and it doesn't help that he's wearing a helmet because it makes it look even tinier than Thunderwings to me. But I do not hate this thing, and I will gladly say I think it's okay. Let's jump over to... Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, Seth!
I'll go first, because I told everybody a skin face was going to be dumb looking. Told you all last time. They didn't listen. But, I mean... Okay, so... Bludgeon was a modern Pretender character, and they went for the Pretender shell face, and I think that makes sense to go that route, because, you know, that's the head that is more recognizable in a Pretender. But... with Bludgeon, it wasn't a fleshy face, it was a skull. And then they didn't even make it just like a skull, they made it like a mechanical robot-y skull. So I think they should have taken a page from that and made, given him like a humanoid but mechanical face.
And
they could have downplayed the angularness of what you would consider a generic robot humanoid face. But then as long as you had that helmet wrapped around it, it would have looked enough like Metal Hawk to not be mistaken for anything except for Metal Hawk. But by giving this robot this fleshy face, it just looks weird.
What if the
regardless
face
of the sculpting?
What if, going off your idea, what if the face was gold with a blue helmet? How would you feel about it?
Fine. As long as not sculpted like this, because I think it looks too weird.
Has no cheeks.
And he's got Owen Wilson's nose. But
got no cheeks. Like, even if he was a robot, he needs cheeks. Robots have cheekbones, too, when they're Transformers most of the time.
Hey, man, is there a Wes Anderson movie going on here?
I would actually pay to see Owen Wilson dressed up in a real-life version of this costume. Like, with the huge backpack.
Otherwise, I think this mold works really well for what they're going for, and I think the colors work really well for what they're going for. It's just, ugh, skin face.
Yeah, I was actually really worried the colors wouldn't grab me, but this the colors actually really grab me. I think they look fantastic. It's just the head doesn't grab me. But
yeah, well, Octopunch is another example of a pretender shell head that would work fine on a robot.
Oh yeah,
if they actually made the head,
yeah, that'd be fantastic. I really, Gog, do you want to go next, or do you want to save yourself for the end?
Oh no, I want to go.
All right.
Okay. For one, I
want to go.
He wants to go. Let's do this. Let's go.
And I totally understand where Seth is coming from. But I have a different opinion than him, and that I wanted this to have a human face. And I liked that concept, and I thought the whole human Metal Hawk homage of him in his suit to me is more of the. That's the Metal Hawk that I think of.
Iconic.
Right. And I liked it. And when they had posted that turnaround, I was like, awesome. That's the face that I wanted to see. The face that we got was nothing like that. I think the helmet is probably the same, but the face, eyes, facial structure, everything looks completely different. The Metal Hawk in that face in that turnaround that they had posted, had this kind of serious scowl. This guy has some goofy, crooked smile. I think that head sculpt is garbage. It doesn't look anything like any type of Metal Hawk. Bakon had tweeted, I think yesterday, the day before, hey, everybody, there's a debate going on of whether Metal Hawk looks more like Detective Stabler from Law & Order or The Tick. What are your thoughts? The fact that, like, Bakon could even entertain like their human mode Metal Hawk resembling the Tick. I don't see how they like, at what point is that okay for a Metal Hawk? Like, I don't get that at all. Here's the really serious problem that I have with this. The day registration went up, which is with the day that we recorded 181, Bakon had said, we're going to post some artwork of Metal Hawk so you can see him, you know, the day that registration goes live. So I was like, okay, great. While we were recording, they posted that head turnaround. And I'm like, okay, they don't want to do the full reveal, but at least they're showing us what this head is going to look like, because the only image we've seen is this little thumbnail of all six figures in one tiny little image. So it's like, okay, that's good. I still want to see how the final sculpt turns out, but I like what they're working towards. I like that this is the concept that they're going for. That's great. The fact that now 2 weeks after registration has gone up that they've shown this, when the day of registration, they use that to sell Metal Hawk, I think is dishonest. I think it's disingenuous. I think it's kind of slimy, because that face looks nothing like what we got. And that is the image that they posted day one when registration went up, saying, hey guys, this is Metal Hawk. This is what Metal Hawk is going to look like. We can't wait to show him to you. But we're not going to show him until 2 weeks after registration has been live, which in most cases, the set is long since sold out. And the fact that they gave that to people as
a, whether that was legitimate art or not, I don't doubt that it wasn't, but the final product looks nothing like that, aside from the helmet design. But the face and everything, that's not the face that they made. And that's the face, and I can only speak for myself, but if you're going to get a Hawk in a human form, that face and that turnaround, that is the face that you want. It looks like Metal Hawk. They hit it. It was perfect. And the face that they sold, that they're selling people and taking their money for, when they've shown that image, is it's horrendous. And I saw that, and I'm not keeping the set. I'm already trying to sell it at a loss. So it's like, I don't want it. I don't want it. There's just so many things about this stuff. And I know that people are thinking that we're complaining so much about BotCon, but 2009, I was on board. 2010, loved it. 2011 was blown away. So
I want to mention 2009, you were defending stuff that I was coming down on, I think, in 2009.
Yeah, it's been almost 3 years now.
I think I was talking some mad trash on a lot of stuff. I think I was even talking trash on Banzaitron, and I ended up loving that one, and you kind of helped win me over on that Banzaitron.
I still love that figure.
I adore that Banzaitron now. And then when I saw that Hunt for the Decepticons Banzaitron come out, I think I joined you, and we were just like, hey, there's already a Banzaitron.
There's not a show history of us hating on BotCon. I have loved way more stuff since WTF began in 2008 of BotCon, like probably 3 or 4 to 1 of the stuff that I've actively disliked. But yeah, like this whole situation with the Metal Hawk, like it's fine if that's the product, but the fact that they didn't show that for 2 weeks and they purposely were putting out artwork as a quote unquote preview that in no way resembled the final product, I think it's dirty. And maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit about that, but at the very least, if that was not an active decision to sell registration sets, that was a horrible misjudgment, and they still, intentionally or not, misled their customers.
Well, I don't feel it was quite as calculatedly misinterpretive as I think you're feeling. Although I'm not gonna argue with you about the way it turned out. I think it did turn out pretty badly. And I hate to say this, but when I saw that head turnaround, I don't think I had the same reaction you did. My reaction was, that looks great, but I don't think that's going to work if they're using something that's going to be the same size as Thunderwing's head. Because, like, I looked at this head turnaround, and I was like, all right. Now I'm going to imagine it being shrunken down to the pea-sized head Thunderwing has, and right. I'm going to imagine FunPub sculptors trying to sculpt it. But that's why in 180, I was asking if maybe they could get their G.I. Joe team on it if they have a different one, because I imagined this head being sculpted at that tiny size by the FunPub sculptors, and I did not see it turning out
well. That's fine, and that would be completely understandable if the fact of they already had their final product shots in hand before the registration set went live.
Mm-hmm.
So even if that was the head that they were intending to make and something went horribly wrong, they still had the final image of Metal Hawk in hand, ready to show people, and they chose 2 weeks early to show the other picture that they knew, having both images in hand, that it looked nothing like that. Yeah, even if that's what they were working for, if that was their goal, that was 100% of what they wanted to capture, they know that they didn't. And that's the image that they showed. And so I don't know. Like it really doesn't sit right with me.
The closest I can come, I think, to an agreement would be that I think if they were looking at the toy and looking at that headshot and then released that headshot, it's a case of they definitely were. I think that whoever was looking at that stuff and put it up had a very skewed and biased opinion on what they were looking at. Because I do agree, there's no way you could look at those two things next to each other and think that the head turnaround is in any way resemblant of what that large nosed thing inside the helmet is.
Yeah, I think there's a reason they saved Metal Hawk for last, and I think there's a reason why they put up registration before most of the figures were
I'm more of the opinion that it's a sadly amusing coincidence that both that happened and that Soundwave's mugshot on their page is his Cold Slither tattoo and not his head sculpt. But I'm not going to argue it either.
I don't think it's that conspiratorial that they were saving Metal Hawk for last because they were trying to hide it. I think they were saving Metal Hawk for last because they legitimately think that it's a grand slam out of the park home run.
Yeah, that's where I am. I think it feels like they do not see what you and I are seeing. And so they just look at this Metal Hawk and they think, oh, wow, this is so good. Let's show them the turnaround to get them warmed up. And then we will make their pants blow open when we show them this final head sculpt.
If that's the truth, then that's sad.
Oh, yeah, that's why I'm saying a sort of depressingly funny set of circumstances.
And I don't want it to sound like this big conspiracy theory, but I think that the picture A and the picture B are so completely different that it was wrong to show that ahead of time on the day of registration. I think
and to have such a time lag.
And I think when registration came out, everybody knows they have the pictures, and the way that they've done it, at least I think the last couple years, it all kind of blends together after a while, but you know, at the very least with last year, they showed every single figure. And of course they wanted to drag it out because they want to build up hype. But everybody saw everything from the box set before registration went live. If registration had gone live 2 weeks ago from today, which it did, and they only needed to reveal two more figures, I think they should have just gone ahead and done those two figure reveals that day so that when registration went live, people could see what they're paying for.
Oh, I agree. I don't think it should have taken 2 weeks after registration for the rest of the box set to pop up.
And I think it's wrong to show the artwork of what this is as a selling point for registration. And there's no argument that that's exactly what they did, because that was the purpose of it. Registration went live. Here is a teaser for the figure that you're buying today. Here is a teaser. It's going to help push you over the edge. But it's
pushed me in a different edge, personally.
Well, but, yes. But
it pushed me into a very cynical and not looking forward to it kind of edge myself.
I know Daniel has something to say.
Well, I was going
to
say, now, me and Daniel, you know, I'm sure that, you know, granted, we both know a guy who made a kind of better looking Metal Hawk, but... Proto Man, how do you feel about this Metal Hawk? Ignoring the custom that Chris made.
Well, even that, but what I'll get into is, I remember when we first got the pamphlet for 2012 and they mentioned Metal Hawk, and I was stoked like crazy. Because, and me and Jeremy, we both fall on the same page as, we both love Master Force. We both love that character and everything encompassing around those characters. So to have that in any form, whether it be retail or BotCon, is a blessing. So then there's the whole speculation. Okay, it's going to be the Thunderwing mold. So how are the colors going to work on that? So, you know, you're cross-referencing the Pretender shell or the robot mode and how that's going to work. And we honestly thought it was going to work. You know, we looked at the chest design for Thunderwing and we're like, okay, we could see where the yellow will go from the original show design and the original G1 toy. And yeah, it's going to work. It's going to be nice. And then we got that small little BotCon image on the registration page. And, you know, we couldn't really see the face, but we had the general idea from that, God, the size of your pinky, you know, the tip of your pinky, like, image there of Metal Hawk. And I was still stoked. I was still happy because, hey, the colors are right. And, yeah, I can't see that face, but, hey, I think everything's going to be A-okay, you know. Then they showed that head turnaround. And I'm like, okay, I know that Thunderwing head is small and Black Shadow made the best of its space to be able to do the Black Shadow head instead of it being the very Voltron-esque head that the original G1 toy was and in the Victory cartoon. But I was like, okay, they got more or less, you know, across what Hawk's face looks like in the show. They got the eyebrows, they got the, you know, they have that look that he has, that stern look. And I understand, oh, you can't have the full... You know, like he has the single, I want to call it a unicorn horn that he has on the original toy and in the show. I understand they won't be able to tuck that in there. But, hey, at least some of it is present on the mold, even if it has to be flattened onto the mold. I dig it. Then they revealed it. My first problem with it, I feel that they put all the budget into the paint on the face, and they didn't paint the rest of the helmet. They just went with one solid blue all across. And I think also a very defining thing about Metal Hawk's helmet design is that red unicorn horn, that fin. I think that if the red was present, I think it would add a little more, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, it would add a little more angular dynamic to that head. And if anything, take away focus from the face. Because right now, all we're looking at is big blue helmet, and look at Owen Wilson.
Well,
look
at him. And look at him. Not just that, but look, it's Owen Wilson's face that has a whole bunch of extra flesh next to it on either side, because apparently he has no bone structure underneath his head. That's still my biggest problem. If they'd filled in, you know, you see those two, like the visor-ish things that are around, like to either side of his eyes?
Yeah.
If those were not flesh-colored but had been filled in with black or blue, I would be way more warmed up to this head. At least, even if it's tiny, at least it would look like a little tiny man wearing a helmet and a giant robot suit. But the way it looks now, it's like that Clive Barker Tortured Souls series when you have the face stretched out. There's something unnatural about it to me.
That's just it, too. Like, I think it was Seth that made the joke about it, with, like, RoboCop, you know, where you kind of have, like, you had Murphy's skin was just kind of put onto the face. Was it you or Seth? Was it you or D-Fuzz? Sorry. I think it was D-Fuzz or Aaron, someone. But it kind of invokes that, even. Kind of invokes that, you know, like, but again, another thing that also bothers me so much about this is the fact that you mentioned, like, the FunPub guys and how you could have had a Joe head. With Soundwave with his headband, with now, you know, all of that stupidity behind it, I almost now look back and go, man, maybe if they just would have gave us a full human head and have a helmet as a separate accessory.
Yes!
You know?
I was about to bring that up at the end.
Just like any Pretender toys. And the thing is, specifically Metal Hawk's original G1 toy, you have that beautiful original human head, and like every Pretender toy, because this is a Pretender homage, helmet goes on. And if you have it as a separate accessory so that at least the human head could still confine to that space to achieve the transformation properly.
Yeah.
But then have the Metal Hawk head, which will then have that protruding horn, get that dynamic silhouette going.
Because everyone
happy.
Well, you see where his eyes are right now? If those were like, move those up like a good 30, 40 pixels, like near to the top of the head where actual human eyes would be on a head that size. Like, it would make his head at least more proportional. It would give them more room to sculpt in. I want to give, because they've did good head sculpts in the last couple of years, I want to give them the credit that if they'd been given more room to work with, the head wouldn't have turned out so egregiously off model as it did now.
And dare I say that even, you know, to have that more space to give it on a ball joint, I mean, again, I'm asking too much here, but it's just something like that would have just been, oh, I think that would have, like, easily, like, really would have won me over. It's like, oh, by the way, removable Pretender helmet.
And it would have solved my problems with the head, which is that it's pin-sized.
That's the problem with that mold in general.
I know, but that on Thunderwing and on Black Shadow, they could at least have the eyes higher up than they are on this guy.
Like, I mean, you're someone who collects, like, Kamen Rider stuff, and you're familiar with, like, what is it called?
Oh, yeah, because their heads are tiny. It's because...
Yeah, in order to achieve that dynamic look that's the show represents.
Yeah, you got to have a pin head inside the helmet.
You have to have a pin head in order to make the toy a reality.
But like on something like this, it's just, to me, it's like, this is even what happened with Punch Counterpunch's head, where his head was the right size, but his face was too small. Some have said, I don't entirely agree with this, but some have said this is even a problem with Overlord's head. I don't think it's quite as egregious as it is on this one. This one is a textbook example of sculpting a head that is one size, but not realizing that it's actually supposed to be a head wearing a helmet.
And I think the worst part about it all is every time I look at it now, I just get this Animorphs vibe from it.
Yeah. No, you can't have that because he has whites on his eyes. So he doesn't have, if he had dot eyes, this would be a much different discussion.
Because Animorphs, man, some of those human-faced with robot, animal kibble all over the place.
No, like, I mean, like, this is much closer to a hit than a lot of the other toys we've spoken at length about. Really, the only thing, and it sucks because it is a focal point, and it is something that you're paying for. If it wasn't for the head, I would say I'm fine with this. As it is, it's going to be more like, I guess I'm fine with this.
Which well, is my concern. Though? My concern with a removable helmet, though, is what are you going to do with that helmet when it's in jet mode?
Set it aside.
You open. Well, but then you open yourself up to people that complain when there's nowhere for accessories to be stored, like Vangelis did for Rager and Spray.
The back of that helmet, would not be visual. The back of the helmet, which you wouldn't see in robot mode in most cases, could contain some kind of peg. And the beauty with this mold is that it has that drone peg. There's so many different ways they could have went about it.
Yeah, but wouldn't it look again, weird I'm stretching, to have, like this but... helmet just sitting on the back of a jet?
I wouldn't.
It wouldn't look any weirder than the face that we got.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, well, these,
and
these
all
are
honestly, again, the beauty of the Metal Hawk helmet, like the original design, is that that fin would kind of, it would almost complement the design a little bit, you know?
And this is a case where we're trying to muscle Metal Hawk into the Thunderwing mold this entire time. Like, we have to.
Oh, yeah.
We have that hanging over our heads. And as did the folks who worked on the actual toy, like, you have that hanging over your head whenever you talk about these things, is like, there's only so much modification you could do. But I do believe. I'm not quite in the camp of the people who literally said they should have made a different drone that would turn into a helmet, because I think that would
that'd be too much.
That would be a much different story. But I'd entirely forgotten this guy was from the era of the 3mm clip and of the MechTech port.
And exactly.
Those things, I think, could have assisted somewhat. I forgot that we have modern Transformers for our BotCon toys now.
So it could have totally worked anywhere. You know?
You could have clipped it to the guns, even.
There's so many places that small piece of kibble could have been anywhere. But, I mean, ultimately, in the end, it doesn't kind of shock me that it ended up like this, because I had a lot of hope. But as time progressed, and then it just kind of dawned on me that it's probably going to be only subpar. It was only going to be as good a Metal Hawk as it could be using this mold, where... I mean, there's so many other, like, Wonderfest 2010 had their Metal Hawk.
Well, that's the... I mean, this is also a case of choosing to do Metal Hawk's shell rather than his inner robot, yeah. Which I guess because I didn't see Master Force, to me, when I think Metal Hawk, I always think lanky gold jet robot before I think of the blue and red shell.
And you know what's sad, too, is because the Club Fiction used Metal Hawk a lot. And they used Metal Hawk wearing his Pretender Shell armor, but the lanky gold robot. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Because I was going to say up front.
They did a very – in the Club Fiction, which was the Dion run, which was 2010, correct me if I'm wrong, you had Metal Hawk show up at one point wearing the armor pieces. And he was a predominant – you know, character that showed up every so often, which led to a lot of speculation about the 2011 box set before we knew that it was animated.
Because I was going to say, what if this toy had a gold Metal Hawk inner robot head? Because I thought that would look okay, but I didn't know if that would be completely...
If it had that head, then you kind of have to change the rest of the robot body too. Because then it would be like, you know, yes, I understand that, okay, like, you could then do that robot head, but then the rest of the bodies, because it's so much looking back at Master Force and what you associate with that character and that design.
Yeah.
It's kind of like having Optimus Prime's body, but then Ultra Magnus's head just right on top of it. You know, like it's two different designs that you right away staple in your mind, and now you're mixing them together. So.
Yeah, I mean, end of the day, I don't dislike this Metal Hawk. And on the bright side, with its head being the only thing about it I really don't like, that's going to be something that will potentially be very easy to solve myself.
Well, I'm thinking a Sergeant Cup kind of scenario from a third-party company.
That's what I'm thinking, too. Sucks to say that, especially about a BotCon toy, when they are made by a group who absolutely doesn't like the people who do that. But... it's also a very easy solution.
They should get it right the first time.
Oh no, I agree with you.
It's happened in the past where BotCon toys have got upgrade kits, so this won't be a stranger idea.
I mean, there was a Shapeways head done to make BotCon Pyro look even more like Pyro by doing up a new head for it. Which, you know, I didn't mind how Pyro turned out, but when I saw someone who got that head and painted it up the right colors, I was like, wow,
really
that
made it look like Pyro.
That busts this to a whole new level. So I'm hoping that some folks can have a go at this. I also hope, I remember there were some folks who took the punch counter punch, the head must be this small thing as a challenge, and tried to figure out ways to make a bigger head still work in that space. I want to see some folks do that with this one. Do up the human head in the helmet, but figure out if there's a way to alter that helmet, to alter that the space you have, to not just have this tiny, tiny little head sitting there.
Well, put some red on that fin.
Well, I will say, there was a tweet I read in which the red fin was brought up, and Bakon at Twitter, and let me finish saying this whole thing, Bakon at Twitter said that someone pointed out the red fin, and they would look into it, because does make sense.
See, that would at least save it a lot. That would make me smile, because at least put some more detail into that design up there, you know.
Yeah,
it's putting way too much attention to that face.
And I want to fill in the knowledge base a little bit more, just so you know that someone was TFW's own Valkysis. Please feel free to approach him on Twitter and ask him about his lovely experience trying to figure out about this red fin. I feel for anyone who goes info digging on this stuff, because I've unfortunately not had a ton of success asking my own questions about these things. And before anyone asks, it was done in as nice and professional a tone as I think I could hope to be. It's these BotCon reveals have been taking their toll on BotCon's Twitter account, I'm quite sure, to the point where I had someone once come to me on Twitter saying, I'm going to paraphrase slightly, BotCon seems to only be retweeting people agreeing with them, and I asked them a question about registration, can you help? And so I helped this gentleman out because he wants to go to BotCon but wasn't sure about if he had to buy a membership beforehand or if it was rolled into the cost of his Primus package. And apparently he wasn't able to get an answer on Twitter amidst all the retweets. So I informed him that, yes, his Primus package will include his yearly membership. It's part of the cost for the non-member package, in fact. And so he said, oh, great, I hope to see you there. And I said, I hope to see you there, too. So, you know, I'll happily, I guess, do the PR work myself. Because
as sad as that sounds,
that it's, and I'm not gonna, all I'm gonna say is BotCon gets they've been getting a lot more heat on Twitter, I think, than they ever had before. I can understand if they're feeling a bit overwhelmed, and I am happy to fill in those holes as has been needed on that occasion, and one or two other small ones. It's no skin off my back. I'm glad to help. So Metalhawk rounds out the box set. Now we've seen all six box set figures up close and personal. I just want to pull up the quick shot of all six. I kind of want to deliver, now that we've seen all six, I'd like to drop a quick ranking on them, just in terms of how I like the six, if you guys think that's a cool idea.
Yeah, okay. Let's do it.
So I'm looking at the six, I would say definitely my favorite one is Treadshot, closely followed by Road Tracks Rage. Although Road Rage, I am probably going to do the lipstick treatment, because that idea that Foster Logger and others had was fantastic. I think that would make that figure perfect. So those two, I think, they knock those two out of the park. Absolutely love those two. They're quickly followed by, and this takes a lot of thought, but I think the next one I would put in there would be Gigatron. Unfortunately, not for being anything like Overlord, more so for just being an interesting color scheme on a mold I like. I would then follow that with Metalhawk for looking really good, except for the head. After that would come Ultra Magnus for almost looking pretty cool, except for a solid blue chest. And I hope that he won't have a lot of paint app quality control problems, given how much paint there seems to be on his head. And then sadly coming in last would be Shatterglass Soundwave. For reasons that are, I will admit, full of bias, because I like the character a lot, and that head sculpt was a complete miss in so many ways that it has affected my judgment of the entire figure. I will not be upset to own any of these, because they all have something in them that I kind of like, but to counterpoint that, I also have to set my expectations as looking at these as though they're redecos happening in a mainline. These are not feeling all that convention special to me so far, but it's unfortunate, but that's my rankings. Gog, what are your rankings?
Well, right before I say that, I want to mention that the whole convention special, that's something that I've been pondering a lot too, because for a convention like this, when you're paying well above retail price for these figures, like, I always have to ask myself sometimes, like, if I had seen this figure at retail, like, would I even be excited for it? And I think the answer pretty much across the board for all of these is no, with the exception of Treadshot, and probably Trax. But that's kind of a big deal. If it's a figure that if you had seen at retail price, say $13, $12 for a deluxe in America, more in Canada. If you had seen these on the peg, like how excited would you be to get them? And now put this same figure in front of you for convention prices. Now you're paying for these six figures, but almost $350. I mean, granted, yeah, you have other stuff.
That's going to be a part that I can't really throw in because we have argued that the pre-reg rules in so much stuff.
People who are getting non-attending packages don't. So they are paying that for only the toys.
And
so I think it's a legitimate comparison.
It's too close to home for me because I have been through so many discussions about the pricing of these things, and then the argument of how much of the Iacon price is a service fee over.
I know, but either way, that's what you're paying for the figures. I'm not trying to diminish any of that, but I'm saying like if you could get these, if you would pay Iacon non attendee prices for these figures,
I would not do an Iacon for this set. I will say. Yeah. If I were not attending, I will say though, if I saw that Metal Hawk at retail, I would probably eat it up.
Because I would probably get it for $12. I would get it for $12. I would probably get it for $12 just because it would.
It's Metal Hawk.
Because I could laugh at it for $12.
And that Gigatron, if I saw it at retail in a position where I'm not in any way able to look at its development cycle, I'd probably pick it up out of sheer interest.
Maybe
the Soundwave. Probably not, and well, I mean, unless it was a completely new mold, but it's not. If these were Redecos, the Soundwave would probably be something I would not actively look for, and the Ultra Magnus would still disappoint me because of the color placement. I feel his torso is just too bland. It really sucks down what was going on with that thing. It was unfortunate because I think that the trick they went for of having 90% of the red reveal in the robot mode while having like a G1 blue. Diaclone, I guess, blue cab. I think it was a great idea, but that chest needed more color either way. Yeah.
But to get back to ranking them, I'd probably be pretty close to you. Treadshot, easily the best. I think it benefits from the fact that, I guess it's pretty much the consensus now that is the second Hasbro head for that mold, right?
Yeah. I thought it was. When I listened to your guys' episode while the Mayans had me playing ukulele, I thought that head had a monocle, but I was also recollecting from like over a year old slideshow that I'd seen.
Yeah, one of us at some point probably should have taken the time to look it up. So
yeah.
I'm sorry about that, but whatever. But Treadshot is the best. Followed closely by Trax. All it needs is a new sticker, some slight paint redecos.
Lipstick.
After that, I don't know. I mean, I'd say maybe Soundwave, just because I think it turned out okay, except for the head. I still don't really want it.
I'll readily say that my last place ranking of him comes from the fact that he was a Shattered Glass character I actually was excited to own as a toy. And there's very much non-objective bias going into that placement on my part.
Then I guess Ultra Magnus after that, just because I don't actively dislike it. and then just Overlord and Metal Hawk just tied for last because I just think Metal Hawk does outdo Overlord in the crap factor. So yeah. So I'd go Treadshot, Trax, Soundwave, Magnus, Overlord, and then Metal Hawk.
All right. Seth, how would you rank these six?
For starting with best, I think it'd be kind of a tie between Treadshot and Trax. Just because they're the least offensive. How about them?
Oh, dear.
But they're safe. So I think they're both also kind of dull. Because, I mean, they didn't really go out on a limb with these. Especially with Trax. I mean, it's just Trax in red. So whatever. It's a nice callback to Diaclone, but that's kind of just what it is. Then I want to like the Soundwave so much. because I do like that mold. I think it does a lot of really cool stuff. Like, I really love how that one piece slides up to fill in the window. They just missed. Just with the long face and the green, they missed. If they had done like a straight up sound wave and it was all blue and just a regular ass, not shattered glass sound wave, then I would have thought the cold slither decal on the arm would have been a really awesome homage. But being shattered glass, then that invokes the concept that there's this shattered glass version of cold slither that I don't want anything to do with. So, I mean, it's close. Soundwave got really close. Then Ultra Magnus, I mean, I like that figure for what it is. I think it's interesting doing the clear plastic face, but I mean, it's not Ultra Magnus. Like, nothing about that thing makes me think of Ultra Magnus. It's Ultra Magnus because that's what they've named it. Like, there's some cool stuff about that head, but it doesn't look like a Magnus head. And the only link to Ultra Magnus is it's based on the Diaclone Power Convoy color scheme, and Ultra Magnus uses that mold. So it's a very, very thin connection. It's not Ultra Magnus. There's other characters that could have been. I guess. I don't know. Or just call it a upgraded Prime or something. I don't
call
know.
It powered convoy.
They could have done that, but they just shoehorned Ultra Magnus into the situation. So, I mean, it's an interesting figure. It's not a good Ultra Magnus.
Hey, he can deal with it. All right. I heard that on Twitter.
Yeah. Then I would go with Metalhawk. I like the colors on everything except for the head. Could have been handled better. And then at the bottom, I put Gigatron because of everything we've said. I mean, it seems like they wanted to do something. This is as good as they got. And now they're constantly changing their story to try to explain why it's that way. Just trying to get everyone to go, okay, yeah, I get it now. But I don't get it now. I still don't get it.
So. You know how I said that I liked Metalhawk but would not defend him? I will defend Treadshot to the end. Let's have a fist fight. Calling him the least offensive. It's more like he is the best, not offensive. I don't even care that he has that giant ass reverse color logo on his chest. That is a gorgeous toy. I will fight you. Right here. No, but I can't yet because we have to also hear from the Proto Man what his ranking is.
Number one for sure, Treadshot.
Yeah, that's right.
Without question. He's the only one that there's nothing I hate about it. It's classics alternator. Classics Armada Sideswipe. You know,
I also like how I said, yeah, that's right, even though Seth ranked him in the top two tied for first. I just realized that that made absolutely no sense. I'm sorry about that.
Either way. I'm actually a little curious too, how they're gonna do the like jazz speaker things.
There's a picture of them somewhere.
Oh, is there? Okay, yeah, I must have missed that one. Because like this mold, I enjoy giving it that new head, giving it that new concept. It's great. I really like it. There's nothing I could complain about it. Second place, I'm with you guys again, all on this with Road Rage / Shattered Glass Tracks. You can't go wrong with it. It's like Seth said, it's safe. It's very safe. You know, it's paint some lips on it, some stickers, and you got your Road Rage. If you're a Diclone man, you got your Tracks, you know, Red Vet. I mean, it's just they're two safe toys that they went with. The easy repaints, but on top of it, fictionally, I get a feeling they're going to be enjoyable. So on two levels, I think they're good toys. After that, then it's like, oh boy, to put numbers on these four. I'm going to have to go with Metalhawk because I still like the rest of the toy. It's just that head. If it gets that red paint on the horn, if it gets the red paint on the fin, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good then. But if it's not there, it's going to be a lot harder to swallow. Then it's Ultra Magnus. I see what they were going with. They wanted to have an all blue cab to invoke the convoy all blue cab, and then have something that when it transforms, it still looks like the combined mode of powered convoy. So, but at the same time, okay, it's one of those, like, again, they were going with something, I guess, safe. They're going, oh, hey, it's an Optimus Prime mold. You know, Ultra Magnus has shared molds with Optimus Prime, so let's make that happen. I dig the crystal face. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, if they had a chance to make a new head sculpt, why didn't they just make an Ultra Magnus head sculpt? I don't know. Instead of going with something that's crystal skull.
I'm happier that they used that head. More so than I am wondering why they called it Ultra Magnus. If I had to make a decision between the Ultra Magnus focus or using the new head, I would have used the new head myself.
Oh, yeah, well, then use the new head and just have a completely different character. That would have been fine, too. But I think that going with that name and using that head is kind of confusing.
Mm.
And then having a sword. Magnus never had a sword, but it shattered glass, so everything's wacky, you know?
Whoa!
Then we're at Overlord. Really dig the tank mode, but, I mean, who really displays their Transformers and their alt modes? Robot mode, big purple sword. It's going to be a hard one to swallow, that one. It works for some characters like a Banzaitron or Bludgeon, but it's not Overlord. And then all the way at the bottom, scraping the bottom, is Soundwave. And I don't know, every time I look at Soundwave, I'm just reminded of the colors of Tigerhawk and how Tigerhawk was one of those Beast Wars toys that had, like, no paint applications on them. And with Soundwave, I feel like they're like, well, we got to put Cold Slither. There goes all the paint budget. And the rest of it, it feels so lacking everywhere. And the Ironhide mold, it's kind of melancholy with me, even that mold. And it worked for Ratchet a little more, but with Soundwave and... not to mention with the headband thing associated with him. And
I will say, I realized I've never talked about the headband thing when I talk about Soundwave, and I've decided the headband is not even a factor in what I'm talking about. I wouldn't have cared if the headband was there or not. That head is completely devoid of emotion in its eyes, and this was a character whose eyes needed to be anything but devoid of emotion, and they've proved they can do heads that are not devoid of emotion when they did animated Wild Rider. Someone might say, well, it's animated. I say no. No, it is not, just because it's animated. That was a lively head, and this is a dead robot's head. And SG Soundwave is not a dead robot.
Yeah, the character-wise, he's completely the opposite, which is, again, it's a shame.
The very artwork on the front page of their convention...
before
shows,
we even know about any of this.
Shows a head that I would have loved to see on this toy that was not on this toy, and to me, you know, okay, Gog, you know how you felt bait and switched-ish? Not really bait and switched, but you felt there was a rug pulled out under you by that Metal Hawk?
Yep.
That is a great way to describe how I feel about the Soundwave head, I just realized.
Yeah, and I, as I had said, I think in 181, like, I was prepared to get that figure and just be like, no, it's not Shattered Glass Soundwave, I'll just put my own red Decepticon emblem on it and just be like, no, this is just... Earth mode Soundwave in modern form, like it, and in that way, like in that way, the Cold Slither stickers and every or emblem and everything, like that totally works for me, because then Cold Slither is not Shattered Glass, and Soundwave in like G1 Soundwave would probably totally be into them. So like it would have worked, and if I probably would have kept that figure regardless, and just been like, well, whatever, I don't care about Shattered Glass, but I like Soundwave, and I could have dealt with that, but the head was the only thing that's the thing. Like, the heads this year are the thing that's has just killed so many of the figures this year. And it's such a shame from last year, because every one of the new heads last year, I think, turned out perfect.
Last year was a breakthrough year for their head sculpts.
Yes.
I believe
and
we even said that.
The only head that the club had problems with was Cheetor, and even then it was minor. And if you did your own paint touch-ups, I think it masked a lot of the problems with that.
Yes.
So, but this year it's like the balls have just been dropped over and over and over again.
Yeah, of the Fun Pub sculpted heads we've seen so far, the only one I've liked is Overlord's. And it sucks because unfortunately that body needs a damaged Overlord head for me to really buy the concept. So it's like the one head I like the most also runs in complete opposition to the intent that I see on the toy it's delivered on. But
and it's so sad, too, because you look at the box set and they're like, this year we're getting six figures, not five. We're getting six. And we got six figures and five of them have new heads.
Yeah. And that should be amazing.
We're all unexcited.
Well, about... I mean, the thing is, they all have new heads, and the two heads that like have to me are two of the best heads might be the thing we've been talking about, which is that they are, in fact, other Hasbro heads, which is great. But I really wish that Funpub had been able to continue rolling off of the excellent work they were doing last year on the animated heads and what looks like some pretty good work on what their Twitter account has referred to as the runs, run amok and runabout. Those guys' heads look like they're pretty good too. It's a bummer that the head sculpts. I wished that by now I'd be able to say that BotCon's head sculpts are of a non-variably good quality, but the quality on them is still so variable. Even how long is it? 7 years in now. It's tough. Anyway, first world problems.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Sorry about all the long BotCon talk, but guess what? Six figures is a lot to talk about, and they revealed them all. So unless horrible, honorless thieves cheapening our hobby show more of the souvenir toys, I think that pretty much does it for our BotCon toy discussion before the convention. We'll still be covering BotCon guests as they come up. Those of you who are feeling like we're being too hard on the show, don't worry. There's nothing bad to say about guests unless they are horrible people. And people who work on Transformers are lovely people. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, as we mentioned before, it is a news item. The non-attendee registration is now available, and I had no idea there was a first-day pin associated with that, except I saw on Twitter a whole bunch of talk about, like, we're 29 minutes out from the first-day Iacon pins, let's get that big push going! And I was like, I remember when I thought the pin was the bee's knees, but...
Well, it seems kind of weird that there's a non-attendee pin. If it's the same pin, it's kind of weird.
It's odd. It makes me wonder if there was just enough overstock on the original. I know that's not the case.
That would be sad.
that's overly cynical of me. I'm being a bad person. But that is some BotCon 2012 discussion. We're going to talk about non-BotCon stuff now, unless someone brings up more pictures of Octopunch. Although, I will say, I was wrong about something on Octopunch. I thought that he was white, and seeing the... pictures of the thieved, stolen, honorless, cheapening of the hobby gallery that we saw of Octopunch. He is actually not white. He is a very light turquoise, which helps me feel better about the toy. So I guess thanks go out to whoever that honorless person was that took those photos. Let's do some new pick picks, guys. I've been having Daniel go last on everything. So Proto Man, what is your new picture pick?
Master Shooter, they revealed their Master Shooter exclusive Quake and Spinister sets.
I had no idea that's what they were going for until I saw the front page.
Well, I kind of the only reason why I really dig these is because they're obviously planning for the future, because we already kind of had that hinted what's going to be the ad attendee exclusive.
Spiritless lies by honorless thieves cheapening our hobby.
So. Assuming this is true, and we do have a classics Spinister coming from BotCon 2012, these will be the two Nitpicker and Firebrand, which are just pretty much plays on Hair Splitter and Singe. There'll be two really good things that'll complement the toy, because obviously the Tomahawk mold doesn't come with two Target Masters.
No.
And the original Spinister was a double Target Master. So that'll really, I guess, for someone like me who really wants to have that complete package, that'll work great. That'll work absolutely great. And
well, don't forget the other two, Firebox the Heine Heater and Pinnacle the Tip Top Target Tracker.
Well, again, those are just plays on Quake's double target masters. But it's again, these are just like CG images. I've yet to own any of Master Shooter's stuff yet. I know that you own some of it.
I own their Mega Gun and whatever Brown King, the other one.
Brown King, yeah.
Who
Browning homage.
I entirely appreciate that he is a poop joke that does not try to be subtle in any way, shape, or form. That kind of works for me.
Yay.
If it was trying to be subtle, and then whoever made these was all like, oh, guess what? It's not a poop joke. I'd have been like, shut up. But it is a poop joke. The quality on them is it felt very Shapeways, even though the materials, I believe, were a different plastic.
But also, wasn't that like one of his first releases?
It was his very first release.
Okay,
the only thing I'm worried about on these is I'm looking at the hips, because this is using ball joint construction, and the one problem with Mega Gun and Brown King is that the hips were incredibly fragile, because it was a ball joint, only there was no outward or sideways clearance for the ball joint. It basically functioned as a simple forward and backward swivel joint, which meant that if you tried to pull the ball joint in an outwards leg motion, you could very easily snap the ball off at the hip. Which I'm looking at the shoulders on these guys, and those look like they were designed with that in mind, but I'm not sure if that
they
is
have
on
the clearance for it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm hoping the hips are designed like that too, because that was easily the biggest problem with the Mega Gun and Brown King mold. And it was a problem that could be let go because it was the first toy, so you could hope that it was a learning curve. If that happens on these ones, I do not believe I will be quite as forgiving.
Well, that was 2 years ago, correct? Something like that.
I think it was just a year ago when they came out. It was last BotCon when I...
Last Bot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just... I don't know. I dig them. I hope that they're good quality. Trying to guess on the transformation, which is pretty much a crapshoot. I just hope they come out good and that the pegs fit inside that tomahawk mold, and I'll have something really awesome to have on display.
If that Spinister actually happens, in which case, you know, we shouldn't have known about it by now because of all those lying thieves, that Spinister would look amazing on that mold, and having a couple Target Masters on it would finish it off really well if it has a purple Decepticon symbol on it.
Please.
But yeah, as far as build quality goes, it is not poor, but it is something to going in. If you're the first guy to get them, be careful with the joints. Be kid gloves with the joints. Paint wise, I'm hoping that they turn the thing that was cool about Mega Gun is he actually had some pretty decent paint apps on his stomach. So I have high hopes that if there are paint apps on these guys, they will be just as clean.
I like he molded the small details that the original double Target Masters had onto the chest to kind of differentiate, because they all look kind of samey if you look at them quickly.
That's true, yeah.
They all kind of look the same, but how he achieves it is he just kind of got the chest details from the originals and kind of like transferred them over. Again, I'm not a pro with Shapeways. I don't know how this whole thing works.
And I don't believe he actually produces his production pieces out of Shapeways. That's where the Master Shooter prototyping is done, and then if I understood right, there was some connection with some company that he got to know who could cast them in ABS plastic. And so they will not be done in that weird, janky Shapeways plastic with its trouble doing surface detail. When you're talking about the chest, though, they got some details right, but then they still have those... I believe they were stated by someone to be crosshairs things, which kind of distract from some of the vent work on the sides. But that is also something that is, they are small enough that is solvable if necessary.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't want to go too much into it on this show because it's not the thing. If anybody wants to know, feel free to ask me, but I've been really turned off by the Master Shooter products due to just some of the business practices of the people involved with this company. So I like, and even above and beyond that, just my impressions of the build quality of the first ones. Like, yeah, it was their first release, but it was like, I didn't really think they turned out that well. So it wasn't really enough to motivate me to, seek out anything else. But yeah, I'm not into these, and, yeah.
Also, I'll support your build quality thing by saying having any kind of shoddy build quality on your first release as a third-party toy, I am someone who will look at it and say, well, it was their first go, but I am a rare case. A lot of people, just look at what happened with Mastermind Creations. They had build quality problems on the Nightmorpher Commander, and despite the fact that they came back from it, there are a lot of people who never forgot that the Nightmorpher Commander had parts that would rip themselves apart when you were messing with them.
The tabs.
Yeah, and they have come around, they have learned from that, they have fixed that, but it affected how people looked at them from then on. Look at Crossover Gen with their G.I. Joe Optimus Prime thing. That thing barely sold after the first couple people got it and said, hey, guess what? This ain't worth $100 ever. And a lot of people have kind of just gone on to ignore them. So I will not argue with you if the build quality on the first things that these guys did put you off, because when you're a third party, especially now as opposed to before, you have to make sure your first release is flawless. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you're going to lose, like, you won't lose me.
Fred.
You won't lose me if I think that you have the right intentions, but you're going to lose a hell of a lot of your customers because they don't have the time to consider your stuff to not be under the same microscope as mainline stuff anymore. Especially with TFC around.
You also lose a hell of a lot of your customers, too, when you actively lie to them when promoting your products. So that happens.
That sounds like a Twitter conversation someone could have with you on twitter.com/gogdog.
Yep, sure could. Hit me up.
He's got stories.
Next.
Yo.
Next.
Seth, what is your new pick?
Hey, man. Let's stay on the third-party train.
Bunch of honorless thieves, like a guild of darkness, sucking the innocence from our hobby.
Yeah, why don't you chill?
I'm going to sit over here, but I'm not going to chill.
Why don't you cool your jets?
Not when they're full of nitrous!
I kind of bit the tip of my tongue a little bit when I was saying that. That's why it came out all weird.
That's what you get for supporting thieves!
Yeah. Oh, look who's talking, Mr. Friggin' Stolen Chinese Toy Guy.
I am repenting for what I have done to the altar of the Transformers fandom.
You're repenting for your sins back in 2009.
You're the SOPA of this podcast.
I don't know what SOPA is, because that is in violation of Rule 6 of the message board, I think.
Anyway.
One hell of a mod.
So, there's this company, Fans Toys. Have we seen anything from them in the past?
I don't think so.
No, nothing that I know of.
Well, it says it's their O2 product, so they have to put something out.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I missed that.
FT02.
I'm going to go Google
FT02. Yeah, I was going to ask that. I was like, what was their FT01?
Well, maybe this not laser beak is 01. But anyway. So they're going all the way, man. They are making a big sound wave or acoustic wave, as they're referring to it.
Yeah.
I think it looks amazing. And they're saying this is going to fit alongside your Masterpiece Transformer, so it is going to be big and pricey. But I love some sound waves when they're, you know, purple and not horse-faced and missing their working for the weekend headband. So in the picture, there's a not laser beak, which also looks kind of cool. But then in one of these other images, there are silhouettes for Rumble, Frenzy, and Ravage style figures.
Ooh.
So I guess those would be coming. But yeah, I'm pretty impressed with what they're showing here. The tape player mode is very reminiscent of the G1 tape player. There's some sketches here that kind of show a little bit on how some of the transformation is going to be working. You can't really infer too much from the sketches, but a little bit there. Yeah, just tons and tons of sculpted detail. Tons of sculpted detail. So, not laser beak, will become a rectangle and fit into the chest slot door thing. So, it's got all the stuff. At least it appears to have all the stuff.
It looks pretty cool. If this is actual sculpting we're looking at and not CAD, that is pretty damn good. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say this is probably not CAD. This is probably at least resin or whatever they're working in prototyping. Depending on the price, I think I might even give this thing a try. The only thing I'd worry about is, because I don't know of anything else they've ever released, I don't know what their build quality is going to be like, so that will, as always, be the calculated risk with the first time we interact with a third party. And Protoman has done some Googling and discovered that FT-01 is blaster
sexy
that they've never released, which is weird.
it's interesting because that was shown, I guess, last summer.
Yeah.
And I don't remember seeing that at all, but that was the blaster. But they also showed in the same month the prototype images for this Soundwave and comparing those. And that's linked in the story that Seth is looking at. But when you click on that image back from July and compare that prototype Soundwave to the images that they've just shown, there's been many, many differences in that.
You're right.
Yeah, they've been working on this for many months.
Those hips.
Even the legs.
Yeah, I mean, just the hip joints are a massive improvement. They were going to be doing the Energon hips at first. Like the weird hips with the forward universal hinge.
Mm-hmm.
I am suddenly a million times more interested in this thing. Because I forgot about that announcement from last summer. And I wasn't paying attention to the news story because I'm too good for that.
Yeah, these newer images are years ahead.
This looks really good. This actually is even looking better than that Hegemon thing that other new company is doing.
Well, these older pics look more like an updated. I mean, it looks way smaller. Like this thing looks to be more in scale with the original G1 figure, and just in detail and scope has more of a feeling of an updated version of the G1 figure, which is fine.
Blaster was a tall toy to begin with, so.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the G1 Soundwave isn't stumpy either.
No.
So as that, just as like a straight up like upgraded version of the original toy, I think these older pictures work, but those newer pictures just take it to new levels.
Yeah, I entirely agree that it looks fantastic. Yeah, looking forward to news on this one. I hope we can get a price point sooner than later, but it also sounds like they are really putting their effort into making sure this thing is as good as they can get it before they put it out, which is exactly, as I just said, what a third party needs to do nowadays, because there are lots of them. We've had listener questions about how oversaturated it seems to be, and my answer, as always, is they've got to hit it out of the park on day one or they will be forgotten. So I hope it turns out pretty good. Gog, what is your new pick?
I don't even know, man.
I'll
cover two things quickly because it's stuff we've talked about in depth before, but
yeah,
we did get new color, actual prototype physical images, it looks like, of the new, Perfect Effect RC.
Looks so good.
It looks good, yeah. It's looking good. So this is definitely on my must-buy list. Still a little concerned about how well she's going to sit without a stand with those heels, but...
Well, did you notice? I didn't even realize this. I forgot about this. I think this is one of the smartest uses of die-cast I've seen in a toy in a while, where the die-cast is just a pair of plates on the inside detail of the legs. So it's like there's no need to have it painted.
It's just there as a weight.
Yeah, pretty much. It's there for the sake of weighing her down, and I think that will help her stand with those heels by having most of her weight right above them.
But I'm super excited. I'm loving the fact that they keep marketing this with pictures of Rosanna.
It is Rosanna's bike. It's so good.
Yeah. So it's cool, and it's. It adds a bit of playability and maybe story is too strong of a word, but at least a relationship between they're figures that are coming out, so it feels like they are meant to go with one another and not just be standalone pieces. So.
Exactly, and I think that's somewhere where Fans Project has always succeeded in mm-hmm. having their toys, like, basically, it, the way they've not only succeeded creatively, but also legally, is that all of Fans Project's toys, at least most of their stuff from a couple years ago onwards, they all exist in this really demented, kind of crazily written little universe, and they all just happen to look like Transformers, but they are meant to interact with each other constantly. And I think Perfect Effect, even if it's just for the photos, like taking it that little step ahead and showing their toys chilling out with each other beyond all the cassette bots, that is a great thing to see, because it means that they are trying to present their stuff as being their products and their skill at engineering creativity, and then the Transformers thing is more of a second-tier thing rather than a first-tier thing, at least in my viewpoint.
Also sells the other products, too.
Oh, that's, people.
People are going to buy this one are going to want to buy the other one, or vice versa. Yeah.
And so. You can still get Ninja, too.
Oh, yeah.
She's readily available the last time I checked, so. If you don't own her, shame on you. Ninja's awesome.
Everyone should. It took me ages, but I got a Ninja, and you know what? I regretted not getting her faster, because Ninja is such a striking-ass, awesomely colored little thing. The way the pink and the white play together on that toy is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. And just quickly, too, the official club has put up finally an in-hand image of Runamuck.
That was really important for me when they said that.
Sadly, it's only the car mode, so I'm hoping the head turns out well. I'm really hoping. Like,
have we seen physically the head yet, or just the turnaround?
No. The only thing we've seen is a digital mock-up.
Oh no.
So okay. Yeah. So.
I mean the colors. They look fantastic.
I agree, and I think it looks great. Turned out well. I'm just hoping that this is an instance of them, like they tend to do, dragging out the reveals a little bit just to build up hype.
Yeah, and
not because they're reluctant.
to totally speak to their credit, they have BotCon reveals coming out the butt these last couple weeks. So the last thing they need to do is have this guy show up and then get completely ignored while people are talking about the box set.
Yep, so, and I'm still going to give them the benefit of the doubt on this. I do not want to hate these toys. I am angry about some of these toys because I'm disappointed that they're not something that I even want to own. And I've said from the beginning, I want the Battle Chargers to be awesome. There's no part of me that wants these to turn out bad. And
vehicle mode-wise, they're looking like absolute winners to me.
Yep.
If anything, the vehicle modes will be awesome. And when it comes to a car that looks that good, I'm actually okay with that. If the bot mode ends up being a miss, at least the vehicle mode looks so good that I will be happy to display them in that way. But and I'm not saying like that's what everyone should think, because that's also a really awful way to go about thinking things, because it's just kind of justifying purchases. But it's also it's a bit of a compliment, and I don't think there's no way they could mess up the robot modes on these. It's so
I don't think they will.
Yeah,
can't be any worse than the originals.
Exactly.
After what we've seen lately, it's got me just a little more nervous than I normally would.
Well, these are also robot heads that don't have facial features on them. And then there's Soundwave. Okay.
But Soundwave had to have passion and character in his eyes.
That's true.
Associate, where Runabout and Runamuck have no character. They had toys that were laughable, so you could only go up from here.
Yeah, I have good feelings about it. And I'm going to say I think that they can make these heads look really good, because they have made heads that look that good in past. So I am remaining optimistic about the Battle Chargers. And apparently on Twitter, just to follow up on this, it's been said that the Runamuck is the one that's going to be the one you have to buy, right? One of them you get for free, and one of them you have to buy.
I don't remember.
Me neither.
The one you have to buy will be up for pre-order possibly at the end of this month, and by that they literally said we might be putting him up on the last day of January, but don't hold us to it. He'll be going up for pre-order along with the Deadpool Drift thing. So there you go.
The Deadpool drift thing.
Yeah, I agree. Driftopool. Driftopuru. What have we seen lately any pictures of that Shatterglass Drift?
No. I mean, well, they haven't shown anything since any of the digital mock-ups, so but it looks like now they're starting to get these in hand. So.
I got fingers crossed that Shatterglass Drift is gonna actually really wow me with its paint deco. I
hope it does.
I want that to turn out well because the drift mold done in red is about as completely different from blue or white as you can get. So I got fingers crossed it'll be a cool looking experience. But it says right in the news story that his partner in crime Runabout will be available later this year. So the black one's going to be up on the store later this year, as in maybe a couple weeks from now. Okay, for my own new pick, that's a news story we're going to talk about. Dealer registration for TFCon. I'm not going to talk about that with Daniel here because that's just too shill. I guess I've just got to say, there are people who now have the entire TFC Hercules Mad Blender released earlier this week. Some folks managed to get him from Robot Kingdom before they closed up for Chinese New Year. And I'm looking at the completed pictures. I'm looking at the pictorial reviews of Mad Blender and Neckbreaker. And I am completely and utterly letting the hype grab hold of me and take me wherever I want it to take me, because I am completely in on this. I am ready to buy the other four that I need. I think it looks great. I think it's hilarious that there is already a pictorial, like, multi-stage photo shoot going on of how to take apart Neckbreaker and paint his bulldozer shovel green because people are that upset that it's black. I'm waiting for the tutorial on how to paint Mad Blender's tumbler thing purple because people are so not into the fact that it's green. I'm not going to repaint anything because I think the colors look fine. And Mad Blender looks like the best toy of the bunch. Everything I'm seeing has me really pumped to get a hold of Mad Blender and his crazy split apart into eight cannons cement mixer. This all looks great. Why is my phone ringing? This is unprofessional. Why is my roommate calling me? Hang on a second.
Is he in the other room?
He can't possibly be in the other room.
That'd be crazy.
Hang on, I'm going to turn on the speakerphone here once I can get my phone to stop lagging out so much. Like, come on, 8 seconds to get the options up? Hello?
What is going on?
You called me while I'm recording a podcast.
Oh, sorry, I forgot you were recording. Yes. I called because it's cold and snowy, and I'm currently at Loblaws. I thought I'd see if you wanted to get anything from you for yourself, so I can pick up for you.
Oh, that actually, I could use some stuff.
Can I get in on that?
Sure.
Yeah. Anything important?
He can't hear you, actually.
Oh, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, I could use some... Pardon, what'd you say?
You said you want turkey?
Yeah, some ground turkey would be great.
Apparently finds that.
Ground turkey, an onion, and some Glyco would be great.
Can you have him pick
ground
me up two sleighs of tilapia?
Glyco. Okay.
Yeah.
Some dog food.
I will look around and see what I can find. Anything else you require?
Two fillets of tilapia?
We need milk.
Barrage of snow? Milk? Okay.
We need milk, for sure.
Milk. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Got it.
Two fillets of tilapia?
And Mr. Gog Dog would like two fillets of tilapia.
Oh, Mr. Dog. I miss Mr. Dog.
I miss you too, Jacob.
He misses you too.
I can buy him.
And Proto Man wants some Arnold Palmer's half and half.
Oh, Mr. Man. I also enjoy Mr. Man.
Yeah, you're on the podcast right now, actually. I'm recording you.
He always wears wonderful clothing, Mr. Man. Very well-formed clothing that accentuates his shoulders, I've noticed.
Yes.
Which I quite
yes.
like.
I never noticed.
Listen, Jacob, before you go, have you got anything to say to all of your fans who have wanted you to come back on our podcast?
I appreciate the sentiment, but I have nothing to add to a podcast that's of any meritorious quality.
Fool, you're adding stuff right now.
I wouldn't know what to do or say on a podcast.
It's what you're doing now.
A Transformers toy-related podcast. I would be as useless as a throbbing member on a monk, a celibate monk. There we go.
That was a really, really Freudian metaphor to draw.
Wow.
Sorry, I missed that.
That was a very Freudian metaphor to draw.
I think we have our intermission.
I think it gets weird at 11:30 p.m.
That's true. Anyway, I should let you go so that you're not...
So, sorry, ground turkey and glyco and onions and milk, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right, I'll see what I can do.
That would be fantastic.
Okay, lovely. Well, good luck with your recording. And sorry I interrupted you in the middle of your...
You're fine. Don't apologize. Fine, so. All of your fans in our listenership are happy you called in.
You're not recording this right now, though, are you?
Yes, I am recording this right. That's why I put you on speakerphone.
Okay, well, I should go.
All your fans are finally getting new J-Dub content.
Original.
I hope they're satisfied by my ramblings. My grocery shopping ramblings. We have little cinnamon rolls here. Do you want those?
If you want them, sure.
I don't.
Then I'm okay.
Do you want handcrafted apple pies?
Whose hands?
It doesn't specify his hands.
Well, I don't know if I can trust that.
You want toffee with icing?
No. What's your opinion on Metal Hawk's head? We don't like it very much.
I think it's awful. It looks like Robocop minus the mask.
Oh, wow!
Dreadful, I think.
He's listening to the podcast without being part of the podcast.
It's a Botan debacle. Don't even get me started. My God. My hackles rise. What a mess.
Unbelievable.
All right. Well, I'll let you get back to Loblaws, and I'll see you at home, I guess, later on.
Okay, cool. Bye for now.
All right. Bye-bye. That was rude. I left the phone on so you could hear me say that. So after my rude call, I was talking about Hercules by Transformers Club. So everyone's getting all the assembled ones, and there's some photo shoots coming up. There's a lovely photo of the TFC Hercules pointing at a face down ROTF Supreme Devastator, going like, "Nah, son, it's not you." I think that seeing this whole project now assembled and in the hands of multiple fans who have bought it is a really cool watermark for third party toys, because this was a project that more than one person looked at last year and said, there is such a good chance that this entire thing will not come out. And from what I'd heard, this was literally the kind of project where every toy that came out in individually was funding the production of the next member, which meant that, like, if, say, X-Graver just didn't sell, that would be the end of it. And that clearly is not the case, so I gotta give massive props to TFC, not just for pulling this off, but for being pretty fan-conscious while they were doing so. The first two releases had major problems that were fixable, but they provided at cost, out of their pocket, as far as I know, fixes for them. The X-Graver shovel, the ratchet joint was too tight, they gave you a new shovel with heavy labor. Heavy labor's crotch ratchets are completely balderdashed. There's a lot of fixes for it. They provided a new pelvis with neck breaker. Unfortunately, their fix was basically to add a whole bunch of lubricant to make the ratchets not strip themselves. Although it has also come out that that is literally how Armada Unicron and Fortress Maximus's ratchet joints haven't ripped themselves apart either. So apparently it works. And I appreciate that. And it was kind of cool when we were thinking, like, oh man, what's going to be wrong with the next one? And then we realized that four toys had suddenly come out of nowhere over the last couple months. And the first two were the ones with the problems. And the next four were, as far as we can tell, pretty decently released. So, huge props. I am sure we are going to see a lot of Hercules's at the upcoming conventions. TF Sources table to Mencia this off somebody is probably going to have a wall of Hercules members on it. I know that at TF Con, by that time, I'm probably going to have a Hercules. I know at least two other Canadians going there are going to have Hercules's. I want us to all bring our Hercules's and carry them around like children. I am digging this. It has its problems, of course, but the fact that it has come out, and for the two I have in hand, is so solidly built. I got to give them some quiet one-man clapping applause. That is Hercules. I know that Gog and Seth, you guys are not really in on the Hercules train right now, but Proto Man, what about you?
I am.
You're in on the Hercules train?
Mainly because
the Canadian thing.
I know for a fact that something like this Hasbro would never do. I mean, if anything, that image that you're referring to with the ROTF Devastator, that kind of shows the peak of what they're willing to do when it comes to humongous combiner teams. They're just, they're really, you know, the emphasis now is more what could we do with a mold rather than worrying about what the mold could do as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So something like this would just be a disaster from Hasbro's perspective.
And I think something like this coming out in the main line would be a sales disaster.
Well, it's only that, like, a lot of times we look at classics and we go, you know, classics exists because of the good sales and the success of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So when those times are gone, if they happen, but when they do happen, I don't think something like Devastator will ever happen. If it doesn't happen now, it will not happen later.
Now we're coming out of the movies. We're going into mid-season right now. This is the last time a combiner is going to happen. Because I think a point to make is when you, like, you know, we have said the classics toys like Generations and whatnot happen because of all the extra money from the movies, and those were just a whole bunch of deluxes that were really well designed.
Exactly. And look how big this thing is. Look how much each individual. Even though, while granted, a lot of us aren't focusing on the individual, but how each individual robot is handled.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, this is made to be Devastator, where now Hasbro, as sad as the truth is, everything's kind of made with the intent of down the line to make something else. They, you know, something like Classics Astro Train or Classics, well, Generations Tankor, a.k.a. Octane, I don't think they want to go down those routes again anymore.
And I'm cool with that. Like, getting solid deluxes makes me satisfied, but seeing something like this actually happen and happen so well, it makes me go, like, I'm glad this happened.
That's my complete justification to why I got on the boat with this, was because of me knowing how it's going to turn out for, like, we'll never get something like this from Hasbro. So the only way I'm going to get my Classics Devastator that looks delicious with those articulated fingers and everything is to go about it this route. And in a lot of ways, it's kind of a nod to Hasbro saying, hey, you know, you want my money, make it happen. But if you don't, third party.
I'm never going to ask Hasbro to do this. Like as much as I like this thing,
it won't happen.
I think there's a lot of people with the perspective of, like, yeah, I'm going to buy this. And then, hey, Hasbro, you should take a look at this. I'd be kind of going, like, they probably look at that and say, yeah, that is fiscally completely unreasonable.
Oh, yeah.
that's cool, again, the
Revenge of the Fallen Devastator, that's the farthest they're willing to go.
Yeah.
And that was an expensive toy.
And this is actually making me, I think one reason why I like this so much is back when we got our first announcement of there being a Devastator toy and Constructicon toys, I remember we were podcasting during that time. I was having these visions of, like, Voyager toys combining and going, like, that's going to be the best thing ever. And when it didn't happen, I understood why, but I was disappointed. And this feels like almost those feelings resurrecting in me and being satisfied. It's
how it happened.
Yeah. Gog, Seth, I don't know if you guys had anything else to add about the Hercules guys, or if seeing them all together has made you feel like you want to buy them. But has that happened, or is it still out of your ballpark right now?
I think the combined mode looks good. I don't have anything against it. Like, I don't think it looks good, but yeah. It's just, man, it's such a monetary investment
right
now. It's
expensive.
It's just, yeah, and it's like, there's so many other things. Like, I still have a big package pending from Ami Ami that is taking like 2 months longer than normal, and like that 3A Metal Gear Rex is supposed to hit sometime in the next couple months, and this isn't something that I can even begin to really justify right now. And if it's around maybe later, then it would be something I could look at. But I have a feeling now that people are going to see the combined mode, those individual figures that are sitting around are going to start drying up.
There's a chance, but there are also still reissues happening for all these guys. There's going to, like, the pelvis is coming out again in April.
For a while.
I think that the fact that this thing took off. Like, I was surprised there was even a reissue of X-Graver. That spoke volumes to me that this thing might actually stick around for longer than a couple months. Seth, I don't know if you want to spend $600 or so shipping wise on a giant green robot, but
no, like it very similar to GOG's feelings. It's, I got nothing against it. It's just too pricey for me right now.
Mm.
And I was actually kind of more interested in the make toys, what they got going on with their version of all this.
So. Yes, that is going to be the really cool follow-up to this. Is someone said it's weird how this whole thing came out before any of the make toy giant pieces came out. And my only response to that is me sitting here going like, I wonder if it was a case of the Honorless Thieves going like, hey, we're going to let you finish and then we're going to try ours. Or something like that. Like it just felt funny. Like, you know, all the stuff about the, you know, IP infringement is so honorless. And I'm like, yeah, but it might just be a coincidence, but it feels almost like this weird, like, move of respect of like, hey, you started yours. We're going to show ours, but we're not selling ours till you finish yours.
I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah. Exactly. It's just like, hey, one of theirs has come out. Here's what ours is going to look like, but we're going to wait until they've released all six of theirs. Then we're going to put out ours and then let it speak for itself. I think actually that was a better idea, because if they put theirs out while this was coming out, it would have been a case of people choosing one or the other, and you would run the risk of people just deciding to go with the other one. So I think, and I'm completely speculating, I think this was a case of some weird kind of mutual respect thing, but I might be romanticizing it a little bit.
Also, because I think that money would be put towards this, and the people who already invested the money into those individual Voyagers, to just jump in and expect them to drop everything and, you know, move all their money elsewhere would be silly. So let them get this, let them recover on a monetary level, and then open the can of worms all over again.
Yeah, exactly. So
for, you know, especially for those who want to have both.
Also,
me personally, I kind of like this one more, mind you.
I really want both. Especially,
I'd like to have both.
But the other one went G2, and I'm like, wow, that's the other Devastator nostalgia itch for me. God damn it. All right, I'm in. I just want to throw props. The Hercules mega thread in News and Rumors has also apparently had over 604,000 views at this point. So many props. Anyway, that's our new pick section. Felt pretty good to me. We got some actual news to stick in here as well about actual Transformers toys. Robot Kingdom and Argos in the UK have totally dock dropped the entirety of the next couple months of Transformers releases as far as Prime goes, which is really cool. There's a lot of cool looking Prime stuff coming out. I'm personally going to talk about all of it. I just want to pick out a couple things myself, but you know, I want to round table this a little bit. The first thing I'd like to bring up is, Cyberverse vehicles. They're doing the goddamn Energon driller from that one episode. It's going to come with a Cyberverse knockout, but seeing the picture of that in the Argos catalog, we saw the text announcement of it, I was like, okay, whatever. But seeing that picture, I'm like, wow, that is a giant drill. And I think I'm going to buy it. I really dig that thing. The Cyberverse for Prime overall is looking pretty cool with all the light up gimmicks and whatnot, but that driller, that looks right up my alley. Proto Man, I know you're a fellow Cyberverse junkie.
Oh god, yeah. This I dig a lot. The bases, same thing with Wheeljack and his spaceship. I love this, and that drill is Gurren Lagann crazy. Like, it's huge, you know. It's like, I am gonna drill the crap out of you, you know. And I believe he comes with knockout, it looks like, in the photo.
Yeah. Also, as I just stated about 10 seconds ago.
Okay, oh! Sorry. But it looks amazing. It really does. But all of this stuff really does, though. Especially, like, again, we're playing off the Argo catalog here. Like, cross-referencing everything from what Robot Kingdom has and what we see here.
Yeah.
But looks amazing. That drill. Ugh.
Yeah, that drill is the thing that caught my eye right away.
Yeah. More than anything.
Caught me in the eye right away when I buy it. Seth, anything from these reveals that is catching your attention?
I'm clicking around. I mean, there's this. I'm looking at the picture for the entertainment pack, Starscream and Bumblebee.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that they're going to keep going with these little human figures.
Yeah.
So that's going to be what Silas and just random mech dude.
I am astounded Silas is going to get a figure. As much as it makes sense for it to happen, I didn't know, like, I didn't think it was going to happen for a long time. And then, boom.
Yeah, this is, I mean, this image, it just looks like they took a picture of Starscream that already exists and Bumblebee that already exists and just some screenshots for the people. So,
I mean,
these apparently aren't official pictures. So who knows what kind of crazy repaints they might do for those two figures. But I mean, it's pretty interesting that they're going to keep making human figures, even if they're tiny and imposable little statues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope that there's something different about that Starscream, because I wouldn't mind buying that mold a second time if there's something different about it that could justify it, but it's kind of a bummer to put out the entertainment pack with the human figures with two figures that have already existed at mass retail for a long time like that, unchanged. So
fingers crossed, if only because we've seen with this RID subline, we've seen how ready they are to make completely new toys for characters.
Yeah, so we'll see. In fact, I don't even know if it's just straight repaints. I didn't really want to buy that Bumblebee a second time. I only have the New York Comic Con version, and I'm satisfied with that. I never bought the mass retail one. Starscream is a great figure, but I mean, as much as I wouldn't mind having that little Silas, if it comes with those two molds, even if there are some changes. Honestly, I don't know. I might have to pass on that, which is a shame, because I wouldn't mind having him to go next to the kids and stuff. But
I don't want to pay full retail for it like the other entertainment pack. I'm certainly not going to pay $45 in tax for it. But it's going to be something where if I see it on sale, I'm going to have probably a very quick knee-jerk reaction of, oh, now I can buy it, and just like pick it up.
It almost seems like they're doing like the movie one movie scenes thing all over again.
I guess.
I mean, if this becomes a regular thing.
And I'm cool with that, because Prime has human characters of note, much like animated.
If they'll do like a deluxe scale Bulkhead and do another Miko, or have a Ratchet with Sam's mom, who knows? Jack's mom. But
I was about to say, you're thinking of the wrong little boy character.
Yeah.
Oh man, we know Jack's mom's name and I keep forgetting it.
June.
Yeah, June and Ratchet, and then like someone else. Like,
well, that's just it. Just how we got a whole bunch of the movie scene kind of stuff. Maybe they'll do a regular thing of it. Although these entertainment packs come with DVDs.
Yeah. Usually, so. And unlike the movie scenes, these have characters who I actually kind of care about.
Yeah, that's
which is a huge change. Gog, what's something out of these listings that has caught your eye?
Well, we got, this is the first confirmation we've had officially of Voyager Megatron, right?
Yes, between this image and the weird, like, out of 2008 horribly photographed photo of somebody who says they have one.
Yeah, so that's good. I mean, honestly, no big surprise there. We all knew it was going to come eventually. So it's good to see that there's a completed mold.
I had actually a little bit of a surprise. I didn't entirely know if he was going to still be the Cybertronian mode. I'm kind of happy that he is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would have been interesting if they were holding him back for a different mode, but either way, it was only a given until we got a Megatron at the larger size
class. Yeah, I think they would have wanted to do that just to match the Prime.
Yeah, exactly. And we did get some case assortment breakdowns. So the Robots in Disguise Wave 3 of Deluxes is going to come with a Bumblebee RC and a Viacon. So
yeah.
RC and Viacon, two hotly sought after figures. If you haven't gotten them in the first edition, they will be out at mass retail.
Well, the Viacon has come into question because...
Really?
You see on the Argos catalog that Viacon image on the bottom right?
Mm-hmm.
People have figured out that is not the mold that's currently available. That's a new mold, apparently.
Oh, really?
Okay. But
Well, that robot silhouette looks really good.
So. Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping that they haven't, like, photoshopped any backpack out because, yeah, I thought it was just the same thing. And then people said, number one, those aren't his guns. Number two, the existing toy.
Yeah, because his guns would clip down on the bottom of his forearms and his hands were still visible.
Yeah, so they're doing a new Viacon again, which now has thrown all my plans into disarray because I want to army build Viacons, but now it's like, okay, I got to get two of the first edition one.
Okay, if they're already doing a second version of the Viacon, how awesome would that be if that RC is a new mold as well?
Yes, exactly. What if she's a shorter RC who's going to be more in... Oh, man! You know? readiness to make these new toys is astounding me. Like, I mean, we have an in-hand review of a new Cliff Jumper, and there are people who still have never seen the other Cliff Jumper, who, by the way, is a character that's only in, like, two episodes tops if you assemble all his cameos. By the way, props to the UK. I believe we were supposed to say that. They pulled it off. But yeah, that apparently is a new vehicle. And so I got to get a whole bunch of the first edition one, then I got a whole bunch of that one, and then mix and match them around. Man. So it's like different height Viacons. So like some of them are Steve's and some of them are Bill's. Proto-Man, what's something that sticks out to you? I know you've been talking about something.
Well, what I wanted to point out was they mentioned Hotshot.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's my long-winded pull together of all of this. If Transformers Prime is in the War for Cybertron universe, and for anyone that played the War for Cybertron DS game, there was a character called Hotshot, which was more or less their Hot Rod character. I believe it was Marcello at BotCon 2010 even had the concept images of all the DS characters, and he had Hotshot, which is, it's Rodimus. They just couldn't call him Rodimus or Hot Rod for whatever reason. Now, in this, there's a blue repaint of Bumblebee. In blue and with red accents, one could say Blue Streak or whatever, has the yellow flames on the wheels. One could take one many of, one, you know, maybe it's tracks, you know. But people are saying, oh, it could be, that's the Hotshot. So maybe, maybe not. I'm looking at the face. I don't know why I feel like it's a new head sculpt, but I could be wrong. And I own this Bumblebee toy already.
This is actually the new mold Bumblebee that none of us have yet. You can tell by the flap up behind his head.
All right. Yeah, you're right.
So, by the way, that's a mold nobody has, which now has a confirmed repaint already that we've seen a picture of.
So, yeah, what's the story with that?
This means that, like, looking at all this and the Robot Kingdom reveals, to me, says that they have the Photoshopified images of all these toys sitting somewhere on a thumb drive. I would like to see that thumb drive, please.
And I know, I'll tell you what this means. This means Vangelis finally gets his wish of, finally, a Bumblebee repaint that is not yellow and black.
Yes, you're right! He's blue!
Glyph.
I'm going to ignore those yellow flames for now. And say that this is just a really dark dark blue homage for some reason to the Protectobot Hotspot, and they called him Hotshot, and now he's a sports car.
Yeah, that's true. It also had red and blue with flames on it.
Right. I don't know. It's a real stretch.
That's just it. I'm trying to think of any Transformers that had red and blue and flames. So all I get is tracks, really, for cars.
Yeah, but this Argos page has revealed some really interesting stuff, and I am so... I got to see what that new Viacon toy is like, and I'm pretty sure that's a new toy, because we learned...
It does look new.
We learned the first edition Viacon is the final Eric Zubinaler toy, and I'm going to have to get over that before I look at this new one, because that's probably going to bias me a little bit, unless this new one hits it out of the park. But it also looks really good, so it might hit it out of the park. Anyway, the only downside of this is if RC is also a new mold, that means that the first edition toys have suddenly become a lot more rare than we thought they might be, unless suddenly the U.S. finally gets all of them en masse sometime this year. Unless they were just meant to be international exclusives, in which case,
which is very weird.
But Hasbro forgot the flag. That was a reference to episode 180 to prove I listened to it. FYI. The only other thing in here I want to bring up are that I'm really amused that there are, in fact, two different price points of masks available. There's your dinky 10-pound Transformers Prime battle masks to make yourself look like Optimus or Bumblebee with human eyes. But then there's your 25-pound Prime Energon helmet, which is electronic. So we have multiple tiers of silly plastic character hats, which to me speaks that there's still some surplus money going on, or character hats is a surprisingly popular product that I would never have thought to be this popular. That's what I wanted to bring up. Assuming there are no comments on those helmets, Seth, is there anything else speaking to you in this lineup here?
No, I think everything that has any interest for me has been pretty well covered. I mean, I think the big shots are kind of weird, but
oh, the big shots!
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I was gonna say.
Oh my god, how did we forget about that?
I never looked at those until just now, and I had no idea that they were a really weird, mixed aesthetic, crazy product that I'm kind of interested in.
It reminds me of the Takara Chrono Cues that they did a while back, where it was like it's those stubby transformables, and I like that it's not just movie; it could be G1 aesthetic also.
And there's friggin' Barricade. The one movie bot to pop up is Barricade. I love Barricade.
Well, there's
do
there's
we
a
know
Sentinel
how tall there. These are gonna be?
No idea. There's a shot of one, but there's
is
nothing.
There a price point? Maybe that'll give us an idea. What is Robot Kingdom saying for?
They're just showing by the assortment.
No numbers though, eh?
No, like oh, well, it's $22 for the set of the two big ones, that being Prime and Megatron.
So. Let's say Cyberverse, usually their play sets are normally 15, 16. Yeah. So these are going to probably be smaller. Let's just assume.
The assorted bots is a sealed case of 12 for $60. So that means they're $5 each.
Yeah, so they're probably a lot smaller.
And I'm cool
exactly
with
like,
that. I'm
cool with that, too.
If those head sculpts all look as good as that Bumblebee one, and that Megatron one I think looks great. I kind of like these.
Yeah, well, in this case, I would prefer smaller than not. Because if they were big, then they would seem to be targeted more toward, like, your rescue bot level.
Yeah, yeah.
But as smaller, then they could be, like, fun little goofy collectible things.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I kind of have to wait and see how they go, I think.
I want to know if they have some kind of pullback gimmick or if they just transform. But if they're going to be like $5 each, I think I might just buy them. Like
the head sculpts on them are interesting.
Yeah, and there's some cool stuff. Like the Starscream one is like a G1 Starscream robot, but his jet mode is the movie jet mode. You can see the zigzags on the back.
Yeah,
and he's on wheels.
Yeah, and he's on a truck for some reason.
I just get this like it's like Hasbro's answer to those Primars that they were showing at the third party stuff.
Well, like, also. that red one on the bottom is Sentinel Prime, and that's that doesn't look like a movie Sentinel Prime to me at all.
Well, it's the head is clearly like, you know, all that all red. It's kind of like the Chrono Q.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like they kind of didn't know which direction they were going with it.
I'm fine with that. That's what I love about Creo. Like Creo is this weird mixed aesthetic thing, and I'm happy to see that on an actual Transformers product. Like that's
yeah. These cool. These aren't going to be pull back spring driving.
I don't know about that, there's just, Seth. Because
well,
Starscream
well,
has wheels.
But look at the Bumblebee. You could see where all his wheels are. Where does that little spring motor go?
You're right. Especially if the legs fold up in there, like I think they do. There's nowhere for the motor to exist, which is fine. Well,
there's nowhere that the wheels attach to anything that would drive.
Yeah, it's just going to be on the arms.
No, I don't think there's a motor there, and I think that is absolutely fine. And I think that I have a suspicion these are supposed to be some kind of weird little game because he has a fist sticker on his stomach with numbers next to it.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think I think that fist sticker looks like it's on a rotating panel, which I hope so, because that would be the most clever thing ever. To make these like a game that you can...
It's going to be like Hero Clicks or something.
Yeah, but it looks like going by the artwork shot, it looks like it would be on a panel that you could then rotate down. Oh, you can see it on the Optimus Prime.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you look at the Optimus Prime, it's just a big gray square on his face.
Something's up.
Have it rotate away so if people just want the toys, they don't have to look at the stupid stat sticker.
Megatron has it too, if you look carefully.
Yeah. Yeah, and on the Prime and the Bumblebee, it definitely looks all kind of Photoshop-y'd.
Yeah.
But you could kind of get a better idea of what it's going to look like on the Megatron, which is an actual photo.
And there's, it looks like there's red paint like on the other side of that little cube in his chest. So
that's probably the actual chest sculpt. And then the inside is what his power is. And each one you buy has different powers. So if you buy two Megatrons, they'll have different powers.
I'm suddenly really interested in these big shots.
Thank you for pointing out, Seth. We almost completely overlooked it.
Yeah, that's what I'm for, I guess.
You're also for loving.
Yeah, I'm interested to see these more in person. I mean, they have potential to be interesting.
Yeah. For sure. I guess going from there, Gog, is there anything else you wanted to bring up out of this little box of reveals?
Nah, I think we've covered it pretty well.
Yeah, Proto Man, anything else on your end? Because I
just want to say that the Prime trailer is awesome because it homages the G1 Prime trailer on a lot of different levels. It even has the battle station that comes up with the two like ever so slightly rocket launchers on the side. You know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I do want to mention because it's newsworthy that the Cyberverse stuff is including some movie carry down because the photo on the Argos catalog is. One of them that
Override
red
ride,
yeah,
sideways or whatever you
your
poison.
Yeah, the photo catalog shows to me that red car to me looks a whole lot like Movie Mirage in a way. Unless that's Knockout, I'm not too sure. That might just be Knockout, but in I think actually that is Knockout. Well, in the text reveals though, it was added that it's going to include Evac from the Movie Ride and a Mirage. We don't know if it's going to be Prime or. The long untoyified movie Mirage, but that's something. Anyway, moving on from there, we got a listener question from a Welshman named G-Wolf V2. I've not had the pleasure of speaking to this gentleman at length, but Gog Dog, I believe you've encountered him once or twice.
I spoke to him earlier today, actually.
Oh, dear. Was it all right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it was all right. Thank you for asking.
It was okay.
I got to check on the quality of our Mikey. There
we go. The two Welshmen, Mikey and Jai D, oftentimes gang up on me. They're fine on their own, but when you get them in a room together, look out.
That sounds like gang mentality to me. Anyway, he has a question for us. He goes on to say, greetings, gentlemen and assorted others. I watched Batman Under the Red Hood lately, and it got me thinking on the idea of comic-based, animated-drawn moving picture media squirrels. If you were some kind of dictatorial monsters, .. and you are, .. what Transformers comic stories would you give the treatment? And only one of you can say last stand of the wreckers. All the best peeps. P.S. If Prime fought Gurren Lagann non-galaxy, how badly would Genesis and Gogagar beat their asses? They're fighting because I said so. P.P.S. Why don't you answer the phone, Vangelis? I'm so cold out here in the bushes and watching you baste yourself. What's weird is he actually wrote it, so I had to read it phonetically like that. So you watch Batman Under the Red Hood and comics turn into cartoons. Only one of us can say last stand of the wreckers, and I'm not going to be it. So I'm going to go last. Gog, what would you like to see turned into a piece of moving media that was a comic book?
The Ironhide miniseries from last year.
Yes.
Because I want to see that Alpha Trion animated with a voice.
Yes.
Because I'm one of like 10 people who loved that comic.
I love it so much.
Top, like easily one of the best IDW books.
I agree. I wish more people shared that view, but that's mine. That was a great comic. The artwork was beautiful. I'd say second to that, maybe Drift, because I would love to see more of that Die-Atlas.
Yes. Oh, that Die-Atlas animated.
Exactly, but I would choose the Ironhide first, just because I think that is a great little mini story, and I think it would fit great into that little micro movie format that a lot of comic book stories have been getting the last few years.
I think they should do it and not let me anywhere near the production, because I would have trouble not making Alpha Trion have the same voice actor as Ironhide. just to play into my stupid ass little theory I had when I was reading that. Seth, what would you like to see committed to motion that was once committed to ink on paper?
Maybe the current run of the New Mutants.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't really read the Transformer comics, so I don't really know.
That is still a valid answer. Even though this guy did say Transformers in his question.
New Mutants is part of Marvel. Marvel was once part of the G1 continuity.
Boom.
It's close
Works
enough.
For me.
There you go.
It's
got about as much justification as some of the stuff that the club's doing for the PopCon exclusives.
I don't know what you're talking about. Who would you like to see in the voice cast for New Mutants cartoon short?
I don't know.
The
only voice actors I could really think of off the top of my head, I don't know if you would cast them to play like people in their early 20s. So I don't know. I'd have to do some research.
Some very deep voiced young adults come about.
Michael McConaughey doing all the voices, especially Dana Moonstar.
All right, moving on from there. Proto Man.
He does a voice in that game Rage I've been playing, by the way.
Oh, that game by id Software?
Yeah, he's in there.
Ooh. So is that the one with John Goodman?
Yes.
Oh.
McConaughey is the voice of the merchant in John Goodman's little town settlement thing.
How can we get John Goodman to be a Transformer? I'd like that.
Smash him into a car.
We're going to make you immortal, Mr. Goodman. I want to quote a movie, but it's because I really want to. It slipped my mind, so I'm not going to bother. Proto Man, what would you like to see turn into a cartoon?
Well, the way that the WB kind of handles it, where they usually pick a really good DC miniseries or some kind of book, like the Under the Red Hood was kind of a taking the death of Jason Todd and mixing it with the Red Hood story. And in this case, also, what they do is they also have the extras. For anyone who's seen these WB animated movies, they also have the extras that are one-shots. Like, they'll do, like, a one-shot of Green Arrow or a one-shot of, what was his name there? The Spectre.
Yeah.
So I would like, because GOG already took one of the choices I was going to pick, which I would have loved to have the Ironhide one because I really like that. But just actually a War Within, the first volume, done really nicely with that kind of budget, and then have an extra on the DVD of a one shot of Spotlight Blur, because I love Spotlight Blur, you know. And it's because the one shots they're like, especially with the DC ones, the one shots were just like, we're going to do a very self-contained story that just focuses on that one character and flesh it out as much as possible. And the one shot Blur is just one of those things where it's just like, it's great because you have War Within, which explains an up-and-coming Prime. And then the one-shot Blur talks about Blur, and right at the end, it mentions this dude in the army who was just moving up in his ranks too. It wasn't a Prime yet, so for the two people that know what I'm talking about with the IDW books. But yeah, I would War Within, for sure. Because I always liked that IDW book. Don did a great job with it, and Simon did a great job writing it, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, I would like to see the old Dreamwave MicroMasters miniseries done with a completely different art style.
Because so everyone's recognizable?
Yeah, so it's not been Rob Ruffalo'd, and you don't have guys with tiny, tiny, tiny faces and huge helmets. Odd, actually, that's kind of my problem with BotCon Metalhawk, is the Rob Ruffalo syndrome. But I would like to see that, because I thought MicroMasters had a pretty good story at its core. And I'd like to see it get given another chance with both the draw of being a cartoon and the draw of not having quite such house-style artwork.
Also, you know what it was? It was a million designs dropped into one book. Mm-hmm. It's like, here's a whole butt-ton of new characters that all have
80
the same
Transformers.
80 Transformers that all have the same transformation and silhouette.
Mm-hmm.
Deal with it. Oh, and also to answer the other question, yeah, Genesis Gal Gigar would beat everybody.
My follow up on that is, you say they're fighting because you said so. Then I'd want to say, then why'd you say so? That's my answer to that question. And I don't answer the phone because I don't answer the phone when people call me and aren't on my call display. It's simple etiquette. We also have a listener question from Movie God Optimus, who sent his question in on the same day as G-Wolf V2, believe it or not. He says, greetings, Vangelis Prime, and possibly Seth Buzzsaw, Gog Convoy, Omegas Maximus, Aaron Bulby, and any possible hostages. I think Aaron Bulby is my favorite one of those, because it works, but it also is awful. He says, I, a longtime listener and worshipper of God Mod Prime, would like you gentlemen to answer my questions. Ooh, yeah. Question number one. Considering the reveal of Unit E was found out to involve anything. What?
He's referring to that Unit E.
But what is he... considering the reveal, the old reveal of Unit E was found out to involve anything.
Anything from Hasbro properties. Oh, okay.
It's really confused.
It's like, remember Hasbro did this? Yeah, it's totally in it now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I was wondering if you guys were in charge of it, would it be a Night in the Hasbro Factory movie or something different? Okay. So if you were in charge of it, how would you do it possibly as a movie? I would just do it as the epic multiverse it presented itself to be. Yeah. But I don't know about the rest of you guys. Seth, how would you do it?
All right, so what was Unit E?
It was that comic book that said that Micronauts, Strawberry Shortcake, Inhumanoids, Mask, and some other and Stretch Armstrong.
Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, it said that they were all a multidimensional task force being assembled by the Micronauts to fight Baron Karza.
Well, actually, they were all getting assembled by Synergy, who was a hologram from Gem. And, it was so over the top.
It was everything that doesn't have a toy line right now, but is retro, is all crossing over for the sake of this one comic book, just to say, hey, what's up?
I think we blew Seth's mind right now.
That the comic book blew my mind when I read it.
Yeah. I don't feel qualified to answer this, because I'd never heard of it until just now, so it sounds...
I gotta find a crazy picture. Hold on a second.
It is crazy, and
who published this?
Hasbro.
Something
Hasbro put it at New York Comic Con.
Crazy in house thing.
Yeah, and they put just a letter. They put a letter at the end that said, "By the way, this is not a new show. This is just us telling you what properties from the 80s we still have." So,
I forgot about Candyland. Jesus Christ!
Oh yeah, Candyland.
This is just a bunch of stuff that we own. So what? Or. Making a movie out of it?
Yeah.
Battleship.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I forgot about all of these.
Battleship. And Dino Riders was in this briefly, too. I forgot about that, too.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, it's Crisis on Infinite Hasbro, essentially.
I saw this picture. I didn't realize it. I just thought this was like a handout.
No, they wrote a comic.
It's a picture of a thing.
They were like, here's these concepts we have. Like, Mask is about... A bunch of police officers and rescue workers trying to take back Detroit from the criminal organizations that have overthrown the police force. So Matt Tracker's a SWAT officer with a friggin' handgun. Like, putting caps in fools.
Yeah, I don't agree with it at all. I mean, some of these... Like, I remember seeing this now, like, some of these new designs are... Like, okay... Now it's sunk in, the idea of Mask being a SWAT team in Detroit. Why would you do that? They're supposed to be out in the desert in their like weird transforming gas station.
Boulder Hill. Some,
you should have seen like they made like Stretch Armstrong, which by the way, I believe Marcelo Mattier had something to do with.
I don't know.
They tried to write a backstory for Stretch Armstrong, and they basically had to redesign him from the ground up because he makes no sense.
Well, you just make him any other stretching superhero.
Yeah.
He's Mr. Fantastic. Whoop-de-doo. And then, God, man, they're really trying with Battleship, aren't they?
Well, that was Battleship that movie Galaxies. Coming out.
I know, but they got that movie coming out. It's like they're really trying to make Battleship is fun the way it is. So, I don't know. Stop it.
And
just leave it alone.
Primordia is basically the Inhumanoids.
Yeah, they just couldn't get the rights to it.
So if the Inhumanoids happen again right now, they'll be called Primordia.
And apparently one of them is the Abominable Snowman or something.
He's
all white and hairy.
Furry with eyes.
Whichever one that's supposed to be.
Oh, man.
Maybe that's that replaces the tree guys.
No, they had a tree guy in the page for them.
Tree guy.
There's a guy made of wood who's a big tree that's walking. And the Action Man was in this too.
Amp it up. Just...
So how would you
no,
mix
sir,
these properties?
I don't like it.
So how would I handle it? I would scrap all these reimagined concepts, roll them back to something that's cool, and then leave the board games out.
I will defend that Mask concept, because Mask is a cool show, but, man, they were not hardcore. I did not respect them in a fight. I want my new Mask to be respectable. Even if his helmet looks like it's made out of a tiny police car.
What are some other dumb board games Hasbro owns the rights to now? Do they have
Monopoly?
Cootie?
Have they got Don't Wake the Dragon?
Hasbro,
if they have
Cootie,
then why
wise,
did they leave Cootie?
They
out?
Own Axis and Allies, Battlestar, Battleship, Candyland, Cranium, Clued, Dungeons and Dragons, the role-playing license.
Oh, man, Drizzt, what's his name, was in this book, too. The Dark Elf with the two swords?
There you go. The Game of Life, Magic the Gathering, apparently. Duel Masters,
where was
Monopoly,
that?
Ouija, Pictionary, Risk, Scrabble, and Trivial Pursuit.
Can I have the Unit B, where it's all those board games teaming up to fight evil?
Yeah, I'm like the guy from like Monopoly, whatever his name is.
Be the commander.
He's the head commander of all of them.
He's the floating head in a giant light tube.
Like, just picture, like, you know, like his final scene before he defeats the villain, like, don't pass go, don't collect $200, you know. Boom.
I like this question though we've kind of stopped answering it at the moment.
Yeah, in the board game squad, they just asked the Ouija all the like, questions.
He's like their master computer.
Yeah. But everyone they have to like wait for like a good 30, 40 seconds in between.
Well, he spells out what the...
Meanwhile, the bomb is counting down.
Split screen. All right, so... Somewhere in there is how Seth would handle the movie for Unit E.
Somewhere in there.
Gog, what would you do with Unit E if you were in charge of it?
I would just try to build up so much excitement for Mask until Hasbro had no choice but to bring it back.
God damn right you would.
Instead of silly little homages every 3 years.
Yeah, just give us friggin' Mask and make it friggin' grimdark. I like the idea of Matt Tracker carrying an actual firearm, but that's the 90s in me, I guess. Protoman, what would you do with Unit E?
Well, the way that they played it out to begin with is it's like they're assembling everyone for something, but they didn't really even say what that something really is.
The big villain should just be a huge like red and blue armored robot called the Playmate.
Yeah, seriously, or like, you know, or it's Maddie Collectible with the smirk and everything. You know? It's like it's this evil guy with a crown and a smirk going, "You can't buy my toys."
But he always
sold out.
He always loses because he has no supplies with which to do anything, and all of his henchmen are completely incompetent.
No, the ultimate villain is a Connect Four board.
I don't know, like, playing off of Seth's thing, you know, like, maybe it's like, yeah, they'll involve the board games, and it's one of those shows where they're collecting something, so it's Trivial Pursuit, like Wedges, I don't know, something, it's so crazy. I remember when the concept was shown, I almost thought it was like, you know, like fan art from the art section or something.
So nice.
Because it's just like, it's so, like, really, like, it's Gem, like, Gem doesn't cross over with anything, you know, and but yet now
she has a page in Unit E.
Yeah, and they're explaining her, like, she, you know, singing is power, and it sounds like Ming Mei from Macross or something, where it's like,
Well, my favorite page in this thing is, because this thing was really self-aware, it was between hers and Candyland, when Candyland came up, and the time traveler or whatever from Micronauts just went like, all right, what are you pulling my leg now? What is this?
Yeah, exactly.
And then the computer's like, hey, listen, those Candyland fairies are friggin' immortal demigods or something like that. I was like, all right!
That's what I mean. They're just, it's just like, they're just pulling anything. They really are.
Love it.
How will I go about it? I don't know, because, again, it's going to be like some kind of like Axiom Nexus crisis thing where they're pulling everyone from their respective universes to fight the common evil, which will be whoever.
And then there will be 5 years of stories of them fighting the evil versions of themselves from the mirror universe.
Part of me feels none of this is ever going to happen.
No, it's not. They said there's a letter at the end of the comic book saying none of it's going to happen.
So then what was the whole point of the comic?
It was probably to keep those names in copyright.
Yeah, they literally said...
You know you are probably 100% right.
The letter at the end of the book says, this book exists to tell you the properties we still have... ownership of that we just aren't using right now, just as a nod to their smaller fan bases.
Like, right, but if they don't use them, they can't keep them.
Exactly. Yep. That's why there's TMs on everything on that front cover.
I wonder if part of it wasn't also them saying, here's some concepts of what we could do with this stuff. Let's throw it out there and see if anybody gets really excited about anything.
Hey, Gem fans, we know you had no attention for the past 25 years.
Oh no, they made a cabinet of one-off Gem toys for New York Comic Con just to go like, hey, here's a bunch of stuff that doesn't exist, but how do you react to it?
Yeah, it's kind of like, hey guys, what do y'all think about Mask if it was like this?
Yeah.
Okay. What about Stretch Armstrong like that? No, nothing. No. What about Battleship in Outer Space?
Anyway,
and next year they'll be like, hey, what if Mask wasn't like this, but it was like this? Still no. You just don't want it to be an updated deal. Okay. Well, what if Stretch Armstrong was a chick now? No. Okay. Okay. What if Battleship was underground?
Lady Stretch Armstrong. That'd be pretty badass.
Really.
Not as badass as underground battleship.
Battleships are beneath the ocean. That's what the pegs are for.
Below sea level.
Anyway,
the way below.
Going on to question two, movie god Optimus says, if Hasbro decides to make Transformers crossover toys that cross over to toy lines they own, what would it be? Example, G.I. Joe and My Little Pony. Well, we know that one of them will never be G.I. Joe for some reason, so that's not it.
Well, here's the following Hasbro-owned toy lines. Action Man, Battle Beast, Beyblade, M-Taro, Cabbage Patch Kids, Easy Bake Oven, For Real Friends, G.I. Joe, Sesame Street, Gem, Jurassic Park, Creo, Lincoln Cross. Logs.
Hang on, we don't need to go any farther. Crossover Sesame Street. There you go.
Lincoln Logs,
Elmo
Light
Tank.
Light Bright, Mask, Mr. Potato Head, My Little Pony, Nerf, Play-Doh, Pokemon, Spirograph, Star Wars, Talk and Play, Tinker Toys, Transformers, and Zoids. So there you go.
Forgot they have Zoids still.
Yeah, they still do.
Dude, Lincoln Lloyd's into Lincoln Logs in Detroit. Zoids.
Lincoln
Logs in Detroit, saving the SWAT team.
It's like when the chips are down, you know? Calling the logs.
Creo Lincoln Logs. I don't want this to just be Transformers crossovers anymore. Just take any two. Stick them together.
Could you imagine how disgusting a My Little Pony Hamtaro crossover would be?
It would be made of saccharine acid.
Oh, man.
You'd get cavities just watching it. It'd be so sweet. That's how bad.
What the hell is Hamtaro? Because all I know is they were really popular, and then they made, like, boys ones where they come with, like, ninja tanks or something.
What? No. You're thinking Hamtaro was an anime in Japan that was between the ages. You're thinking of what is it called there? Chizuzu or so? That's not owned by Hasbro though.
Okay.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but it's not related to that at all.
Sukuro Deshi or something.
It had some really weird name.
Ninja hamsters.
Well, Hamtaro was aired in the Toonami block.
Yeah, it was an anime.
They would even acknowledge how weird it was that Hamtaro was in Toonami.
I guess they were really stretching for anime content. But it's just an anime about a hamster and his friends that live in a girl's room and their misadventures. That's it. It was aim the ages 1 and 5. You know what I mean?
Okay, I thought you were talking about those little plush hamster things. That's why I thought it would just come with saccharine sweetness. But I don't know. Gog, what would you like to see crossover with anything?
From Hasbro.
Crossover My Little Pony with a meat grinder.
I bet you there's already a fanfic about that for all those
Flash
fans out. I don't know what you're talking about.
I bet that would be delicious.
And ground horse.
Yeah. Let's make some glue.
Oh, man. My Little Glue.
It would be sparkly glue.
Actually, you know what? How weird would it be if someone like took a steak and then tried to dress it up to look like a character was made? Like, the steak was made from a character.
That would be pretty weird.
Put sparkles all over it and stuff. Like, hey, this is My Little Pony steak.
You should do it. I think you have the artistic skills to pay those bills.
I will open a restaurant devoted to selling steaks that look like they were cut from fictional characters, and I'm going to open that restaurant in Japan.
Tastes like Rainbow Bright.
Yes.
Or Rainbow Dash, whatever her name is.
Rainbow Dash, actually. I do know that much. Question number 3, if we're done with question number 2. If a Transformers fighting game with all current generations G1 through Prime was made, who will be the developer, the playable characters and their moves and endings, plot, final boss, DLC, and for what console? And if it was Capcom developing it, how long would it take them to make Transformers Super Ultra Ultimate Chug 2.0 with Yogurt and Sprinkles Edition? So, we don't have to answer all that because...
That's crazy.
We don't. And I don't know enough about fighting games to say anything other than there better be ninjas in it. So, Gog, what would any of the answers to any of those questions be?
Oh my god, these questions.
We have more after that? Okay, we do.
only 2, one of which happens twice.
Hold on, I gotta make a note of where Proto Man cursed, because he has no self-control. Let's see. That's me zoning out right there.
Yep.
What do we?
That's how I felt reading it.
The next one's even better.
Jeez. Who would the developer? Yeah.
Capcom, playable characters, G1, plot, defeat Megatron, final boss, Unicron, DLC, wait till next month, console, everything but Wii. Done.
Question
next
number
question.
4.
Oh, wait, Seth didn't get a chance to answer the fighting game question.
Oh,
I'm sure he's excited.
It would be made by a company we never heard of and turn out to be awful and never released in the United States, and then people will import it, paying a whole bunch of extra money to get it imported, only to find out why it wasn't imported, because it was awful. Because
all the characters just push you out and kick you on the ground.
Yeah, it would just be cruddy with like bad frame rates, and it wouldn't be balanced, and it would be bad.
An amazing voice acting.
If Capcom did do it, how long would it take for them to do the Super Ultra blah, blah, blah version? 6 months or less.
And they'd call it Ultimate.
Yes.
This is entirely on topic, but I recently came to know about a game called Skullgirls, and there's a character in it called Painwheel. And Painwheel got me interested in Skullgirls, because that's the kind of character I would design in a fighting game. That was on topic.
So I'm going through, like, this folder of old images on my computer because the Hamtaro thing reminded me. I'm looking for a picture that I had done where I photoshopped Hamtaro into a race car, but I came across a signature picture I used back in the TF Gen 3 days where I found a picture of a bunch of Hamtaro characters and recolored their eyes to be black and red and gave them angry eyebrows so they looked evil.
That should be the chapter
so
pick.
You know.
Anyway, question number 4. Who would win in a fight? That's
the dude with the biggest hands.
That's really the crux of this question. There's like 500 names here. just you pick a name, it's in there. So who would win in a fight? Seth says,
why would he put Zone Predaking in this list? Zone Predaking just stood there and screamed as he got cut in half.
Zone Predaking would be the one guy who for sure doesn't win this fight. You got to have one of those in a list like this.
Zone Predaking would be nervous around Alternity Diatlas the entire time.
No, he would be
nervous around regular Diatlas. Okay.
Zone Predaking would look at Alternity Diatlas and go, hey, what's up? Who are you supposed to be?
He's like, oh, you'll find out. I cut you tomorrow. This is Alternity.
I cut your soul into the shape of a Z.
I don't know. If I had to pick one, I guess Galactus. I don't know.
Why are they fighting? That's my answer, as always.
If I had to pick one from this list, it would just be Grimlock spazzing out until everybody was dead.
What would it
Even
be?
Galactus would probably win.
Oh, Grimlock is on there.
Well,
why is Mr. Freeze on this list?
I don't know, because he was just writing random names to be silly Billy.
Is it Arnold's Freeze?
That does enter into the question, yeah. All right, so have we all answered the question?
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Next.
Question 5, I guess for me and Gog. What do you think of Dead Space 2.5 featuring the Wreckers? I would play that, Gog.
Nope.
Why not?
Question 5 again.
Why wouldn't you bring in Dead Space with Transformers?
No. Why does he have 2 question 5s? You're right.
I was going to just leave that part out. But he says, finally, the last question will haunt you. Are you ready? And then puts 1,000,000 dots with enters between each dot. What?
I don't know.
Soundwave Prime shipped with DJ Pawn 3. Thoughts, ha.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what you know what? No. No, it's not good, because I didn't want my toy to come with Pawn 3. We got Pawn 3 last year, and goddammit, it's 2012. We should be getting Pawn 4 by now, and this is
I just looked up what DJ Pawn 3 is.
Why would you do that to wreck the illusion I was trying to craft? Where I don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm going to look it up now.
All right, I'm going to look it up, too. I'm going to eat some cheese and look it up, and hang on.
I'm
going
to look it up now.
I have this cool picture of Metalhawk with one leg.
Is this going to be like some weird porn?
No, it's just... Yeah.
Oh, it's stupid.
Exactly, it's stupid. Never mind. Yeah.
I think this is completely fine, even though I have not fully enjoyed the show it comes from. I recognize the technical and animation-wise stability and beauty of what is being done, even though I am not a regular viewer of it, and I hold no ill will towards those who enjoy the fiction in question.
Call me back when it's Hamtaro-related.
Unfortunately, no, because that's the end of the question. Oh, Gog, you never answered the question. No, you did. You said yes. Never mind.
Yep.
Yeah. So, thank you for your questions, Movie God Optimus. This is the time for an intermission, so we'll be back to talk about what we got this week. At least they will. All I'm going to do is comment on what they got this week, because I didn't get my special box this week. But I have cheese and crackers.
Yep.
So, talk to you in a bit.
You don't understand. We mean you no harm. We seek peaceful coexistence.
Everybody, we're well rested and back and ready to do what we got this week here on WTF at TFW. I'm going to open up. I got nothing this week. I've got pre-orders in, but I thought I was going to get something this week that was going to be on topic and a total like bomb dropper of a thing to get, but it's not here yet. So I'm sorry. That also means I have nothing off topic either, so I'm gonna chill out. Gog, did you get anything on topic this week?
I got robot rescue robots, Transformers rescue robots, Blades.
How is he? How do you like him?
Yeah, he's neat. Pretty much agree with everything you said on the last episode. He's cool. I mean, for the whole rescue robots thing, they're pretty simple.
Yeah.
But he does do a lot of neat things by just kind of twisting that dial. And yeah, it's a little kid's toy. But I think, honestly, I think I was a little more fascinated with him of how taken aback Pial was in his video. Like, he just seemed like so overwhelmed by this little guy. And I had seen his wave, like, literally, like, 5 times in stores and never once saw a single sample of blades at all.
So I don't understand that. I don't know.
I
saw 3 of him and nothing else in the whole aisle.
So I figured when I saw him, I said, why not? I'll go ahead and pick him up. And he's neat. I like the color on that guy. Like, yeah. It's a neat color scheme. So
he's a guy that I really want to see get homaged on a more mainline toy, because I was staring at him for a little while and I was like, man, like, he's got qualities.
He's in the show, right?
Yeah, I think
yes,
so.
Yes, he is. Okay.
Yeah, I still haven't watched it.
I haven't either.
But
it's good.
Is there a DJ in the show called DJ E-Robot or something?
No.
Throwbot with a 3.
He's okay. I think the only negative about it is, like, when he's in helicopter mode, he doesn't, like, sit flat.
Yeah, but I am really impressed at the things that work in tandem on him. Yeah. Like, it's not just, like, all the stuff flips because they all share their spring, but it's, like, one thing splits, one thing swivels, and then a thing friggin' slides up. It's, like...
Mm-hmm. But I
still think that this is, from what I've seen, the only two that I have, and I don't really have any plans to get any more, but everything that I've seen from the two that I have, they seem to be really good toys for the age group that they're hitting, so...
Oh, yeah.
And I like the aesthetic. I think if I were a kid, it's kind of hard to go back 30 years. But, you know, if I was that age, I could see myself really liking something like that.
I bought mine during a road trip in a car with 5 other people, so I felt very inspired to try to break the toy, just in various ways that I thought a kid might mess up the mechanism. And it's pretty well protected. Like, I tried holding one arm in place, moving the other one. I tried, like... basically just holding stuff down while trying to transform it, and everything was able to gear back in really easily. So I was pretty impressed with how durable it was. And
So you weren't trying to break it to look cool in front of your new friends?
Yeah, I was like, hey guys, look at this kid's toy. I'm going to eat it right now with my face.
Look, I just bought this, and now I'll show that I'm not a dork. I'm going to break it.
I'm going to take this hot rod and throw it out the car window while we're driving, and then regret it a year later because the toy became rare. That was for Daniel.
True story.
Gog, did you get anything else on topic, or was that it?
No.
Oh, no.
No.
No, that's not it, or no, you don't have anything else on topic?
No.
Well, whatever happens, Seth, you're next for on topic, what we got, but I don't know. I don't know if we're done yet. Hey, Seth, what'd you get this week that was Transformers?
I didn't get anything.
Oh!
But somebody sent me stuff.
What?
Oh, yeah. Forgot already. So it was a surprise for you after all. So Gog Dog, under his own power and self-motivation, sent some packages out. Now, did I see on Twitter that you sent packages out to multiple people?
Yeah, I sent like 3 or 4.
Okay. Well, apparently I was one of them. So thank you for sending me a Transformer Prime, Starscream, and RC.
Oh, wow.
So I had the RC from the New York Comic Con pack. So now here she is in blue. I'm so used to her now being a bright color. I'm not sure how I feel about the blue. It's a good shade of blue and everything, but I've like become used to her as this bright pink. So, yeah, I mean, she's still great. I still like the mold a lot. I still think they do clever stuff with the legs and how that transforms. Starscream... I have to agree with everybody else in their love for this dude. Just such a great robot mode. You know, criticisms are just tiny little nitpicks.
Yeah.
I love, like, so the bit that becomes his backpack, just how many times it folds over and collapses and becomes like this little
nothing
jet pack. Yeah, because it allows the thruster from the jet mode to be pointed down and be like a jetpack.
It's impressive how it stays on character model for what it is.
Yeah. So it's just good. And I like that the head has a little more range. Like, you can kind of swing this little bit up if you want his head to be high. Because, like, in a lot of pictures, they had the head down super low, and that kind of bummed me out. So I like that you could kind of, like, not push it all the way down to lock it in place and pose his head up a little higher if you want. So I like that. But, you know, jet mode's a little lacking, but I find that most jet modes are these days. Just too much stuff under the plane kind of a situation.
Yeah. Like
a robot under a plane. So, they, you know, just minor little criticisms, but yeah, he's pretty great.
I think that's really one of the best things that anyone can say about that Starscream, is that all the problems being brought up are incredibly minor in the big picture, and that's why they're being brought up. Like, it's not like, oh man, this backpack thing, or this little hunch here, or like, oh man, the head fin is a little bit bent. It's like, that hasn't ruined the toy. I'm saying it because there's nothing else wrong with the toy.
My head fin is really straight.
I'm jealous. Mine is like got a curve to the left. Looks like it's a quaff.
No, mine's about as straight as you could hope. So you sent me a good one, Goggy.
Yay!
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 My heart's really warm.
Like hot cocoa.
I love hot cocoa.
I love hot poutine.
I love hot...
Just say chili cheese
fries. Beaver.
I have a box full of... Did you get anything else Transformers-wise this week, Seth?
No.
Oh. All right.
Lethargy.
Proto Man, did you get any Transformers this current time period?
Last week, the week that just passed, no. Last week, four different things.
Oh.
Two things that are retardedly expensive. Two things that are...
I'm offended.
Yeah, I agree.
Does that mean you're...
Two things that are relatively new. I got the BTS 05 Minions.
Oh, you're the first guy to get those.
Me and GM Fan got them because the third-party guys were sending it. And again, because Chinese New Year's coming up, so a lot of those dudes aren't going to be sending out stuff for a bit. So they wanted to make sure to get those to us for the third party product preview panel for TFCon.
Yeah.
So me and GM Fan each got a set to mess with them before we have them on display and everything and do the panel on it. So they're not bad. They have their pluses and they have their minuses. It's, you know, hey, it's cool. It's more rumble-ish, cartoon accurate colors and stuff, but it's missing some other factors that make it rumble. But hey, it has die-cast feel like the original G1 toy. It has a different, you know, there's only so much you could do with that mass to do a transformation.
Yeah, the robot modes look, like, weird and almost in a way I like, but then there's, like, just enough not weird for me to feel like it's kind of Uncanny Valley-ish. And that's a weird way to put it, but it's like, they look enough like Frenzy and Rumble for the weirdness to kind of not jive with me as much as I think it would have if they looked even less like Frenzy and Rumble.
It's not only that, because I say to myself, it's like, you have the plastic of the tape, and it's like, make a robot out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
In a different twist and turn that is not already been done with so many other designs, like fast forward, like Eject and Rewind, and the Dino cassettes, and all the other stuff that's been done already. So it's an interesting twist. I like the little nods that they do here and there to keep it show accurate, and then to homage the original G1 toy, to give it metal feet exactly like the original G1 toy. It doesn't have the little backpack gun thingies that some people, I know a lot of people are complaining about that, that doesn't come with that. But hey, it has the PAL drivers, and they have this little spring-loaded gimmick on them so that they actually kind of work.
And the box, like I got a better look at the packaging and whatnot on Robot Kingdom. And the box looks really nice. And then I was kind of astounded by the price, at least on Robot Kingdom, where admittedly stuff is cheaper because they're based right out of where the stuff is produced. But through Robot Kingdom, they're $20.
Well, also the box has a magnetic clasp in it, so it actually closes nicely with a magnet, and it opens up nicely. It's a cute little box.
Yeah. And
it again, for two exactly the same scale G1-esque Rumble and Frenzy that have more or less show accuracies to it. Again, if the aesthetic doesn't please you, then that's your own opinion. But, and I believe BBTS has it for 24 or 27.
Yeah,
and I think it's
for less than $30. That
yeah, and it's a set. It's not just one. It's both of them in the nice little box and everything. And I believe it's the same thing at TF Source. One or the other, 24 or 27. So it's not too bad.
Yeah, yeah. What really actually kind of brought my interest back into them was the price when I saw it. Like, I assumed these were going to be like $40. And seeing that they're sub 30, 20 if bought right out of Hong Kong, I was like, wow, that actually is... If the construction on them is good, that's actually kind of tempting.
The quality is fine. The quality is perfectly fine. It's no, honestly, and this is... When I was doing the video review, I was using some other examples, like using old G1 comparisons, and quality is equal to it. I mean, you can't screw that kind of stuff up. If I had to complain one thing, the spring-loaded gimmicks on the PAL drivers, sometimes they go off on their own. But again, that's about it.
That's irritating. That happens on the United ones all the time.
Oh, does it? Okay. Well, then that's super.
Yeah. No, it's
and
not.
And that one's $100, and those ones are $100.
Those are why I'm happy I paid AmiAmi price for them. Okay. $100.
And the other two things I got was I dropped 4 digits on a G1 Complete Minerva and Go Shooter.
I heard about this.
It's the only reason why I did this was someone was getting rid of theirs for some reason or another. And the Go Shooter, the only reason why I got it was because I had to buy it with the Go Shooter. It's one of those things where you buy it because of the opportunity, not because you have the money. Because to get a Minerva complete with the instructions, unapplied sticker sheet, and as white as it was, it's still a little off tinge, but it's not yellow, is next to impossible.
Well, yeah, yeah.
I mean, like the BotCon stories of getting Minervas are ridiculous.
I will always tell people about the BotCon several years. This is already several years ago, where there was like a 20-plus man rock, paper, scissors tournament where the final victor would then be able to buy an in-the-box Minerva for $600.
Exactly.
Like, that was a prize to pay $600 for a box Minerva.
To be able to buy it. So that's just it. And, like, that stuff is non-existent on eBay, and it's non-existent on Yahoo Japan, and it's non-existent. It's just you don't see that ever. And I have connections in Japan that hook me up with all my other stuff, and even them, they're like, yeah, that thing is scarce even there. So, lo and behold, some dude was selling it, and I jumped on the opportunity. I would, you know, message him, and I'm like, yo, how much? Because he didn't post the price. And the price he gave, in my opinion, was actually quite a steal, in my opinion.
Mm.
And the fact that he was like, and you have to get Go Shooter. I'm like, sure, whatever, Go Shooter, fine. You know, like, let's do this. And so I picked it up. And I'll tell you this, hey, everybody, get the knockoff. Minerva is no better or less than the knockoff. The knockoff, in my opinion, actually is better. Same plastic quality. Knockoff has a hospital whatever the cross on the chest, which is more accurate to the character, where the original Minerva toy doesn't have that. It was the Nightbeat mold. I find the face on the knockoff is more feminine than the actual original G1 toy. Pretty much, don't shell out the money if you don't have to. The knockoff is more than sufficient, and it's, in my opinion, it's a better mold.
Or shell out the money if you just want to say you have Minerva rather than...
If you want to do that, then that's fine.
Yeah. I
completely support that if you want to throw 4 digits at a rare female Transformer character. But the knockoffs are more than enough of a replacement. And if, like I said, I find the mold on the knockoff is better. I find the face, like, because there's little mold tweaks on the knockoff version, and I find they're tweaks for the better related to this character. So that's all I really got Transformers away. It's been, you know, it's after Christmas.
That's still pretty big, getting friggin' Minerva.
Yeah, it is, but it's still quiet in my opinion because it's after Christmas. So
Gog, as far as at least in my little corner of the internet, as one of the ambassadors of the Minerva knockoff, how does it make you feel hearing that the knockoff is actually a better catch than the original?
Okay,
that's a great answer.
No, I mean, like, no, it's like...
Gog was actually, like, the one who brought the knockoff's attentions to me originally.
Yeah, like, I mean, like I said, I really like the knockoff. I would still like an opportunity to own an original just because, you know...
To own it, yeah.
I'd
like to own one. I mean, I'm never going to pay that money just because it's not within my means, you know, to justify. But I'm still... holding out hope one day we'll get reissues of some of this stuff. Because I think it's cool that they made tweaks to the knockoff that actually make improvements based on the character that it's supposed to represent. But there's still some cool stuff that's missing for me. Like, even however kind of gimmicky it is, like the whole chest readout thing and all that stuff. Like, I would still like a legit Minerva that could pull that off. So even regardless of the quality of the knockoff. So
that is true. The one thing the knockoff does lack is the traditional headmaster plug-in readout thing.
Mm-hmm. But, well, this is a case where I'd then say, yo, head robots, I know you like making toys.
Maybe, of course.
Do us up a lady head.
Well, it's not that's because, well, you, Vangelis, you have the hose head mold.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. That whole gimmick where you plug it in and then the chest readout happens, that's been gutted from the toy.
And then cast it over
in a solid piece of plastic.
I forgot.
So you can't even swap it.
Yo, head robots, make a cylinder to stick in the toy with springs
chest.
And things.
Make a new chest, essentially.
Make a new chest with boobs.
But it's overall, though, I still think that the knockoff, just, I think it's a better catch. But yeah, like, for people who want to own it, like Gog, yeah, of course, yeah, if you want to go for it, awesome. I mean, it's always cool to own the original
piece of history,
or hope for a reissue, which I think they should really do. I really even this is me who's like, I own it, don't want it to diminish the value of mine, but yeah, I really hope for a reissue
because Master Force has been getting tons of love lately, and I think some of those you don't have to redo the whole line, but some of those core characters, like the juniors, both Autobot and Decepticon and some of the Godmasters, you know, to put some of those out, but they're afraid to do anything
Black
other Zarek than the...
so we don't have gold plastic from the ages.
Yeah absolutely. Yeah.
You know, if anything, that knockoff head robot, they showed that, hey, here's Black Zarek, because the original Black Zarek headmaster, you don't want to plug that thing in at all.
Turn into dust.
Yeah, so, but this one shows, hey, modern gold, well, I wouldn't say modern gold plastic, but modern gold-ish plastic, not breakable, let's do it.
You know? Yeah, just, you know, anyone who owns a Black Zarek will probably agree that they should reissue Black Zarek. And if they don't, they're crazy.
I do. He's in robot mode in his box, and he's going to stay there forever because I am scared to transform him. It's mainly the feet that scare me. That's it's always that.
Yeah. I agree entirely. But that's I guess all the Transformers we got this week as well.
Yep.
So let's go off topic, and I'll reveal that I got nothing, even though I said this already. I still got nothing. Cheese. I like my cheese. There's a Glios drop tonight. I totally bought a whack of Glios. But I don't have it yet. So, Gog, did you go off topic this week?
I went hella off topic.
I heard you went all the way into another podcast off topic.
I did?
No, I mean, like, that's how off topic. Not like you were on another podcast.
I did.
He wouldn't cheat on you like that.
I did.
He's been on other podcasts. I listened to episodes of a high-end toy podcast in a row with him on it. It was real surreal. Like, I'm not used to hearing him in my iPhone. I'm used to hearing him in Skype.
I did.
Yeah.
All right. I got a bunch of stuff, so I will try to keep it brief. I got a robot Damashi Hero Man.
Oh, nice.
Because he's pretty cool. I don't know anything about the character or the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was basically just a recommendation. I had a box shipping from AmiAmi. It only had like a couple things in it, and I had trouble justifying the shipping. So I asked my buddy Quinn Jester. I'm like, hey, what's something affordable in AmiAmi I could use to pad out my shipping? He's like, Robot Damashi Hero Man is one of the coolest Robot Damashis I've ever owned. So it's I said, all right. And he was on sale. So threw him in there.
How much was he?
I don't know, like 20 something.
Oh my. Okay. Yeah. You're going to like that.
No, I got it.
Yeah. He's right here in my hand.
Then you're loving it already. Cause
yeah, he's really cool I can't remember how many robot Damashis I own. I think, three. I know I've got the Devilfish from Eureka 7. Mm-hmm. I've got the, Quaidlun Ray from Macross Frontier. And I can't remember if I own any others besides that off the top of my head, but this is my third or fourth, and he's really cool. Like, his back and his abdomen are made of, like, a flexible, rubbery plastic so that when it covers his torso joint. So when his torso joint moves, it actually the body of the robot flexes with it. Like, there's no seams.
There's actually a reason for that, but it's a spoiler in the show, so I'd rather you watch the show. And yeah,
that's cool. But it just the design altogether, all the joints are nice and tight, and he's a really cool robot, and it actually kind of makes me want to watch it. But I haven't really messed with many of his accessories yet because I just got him. I haven't really taken any pictures or messed with him too much, but he comes with all sorts of alternate hands and pieces, and I guess he has like a little human guy that controls him or is with him or whatever, and he doesn't move, I don't think, but you can pose him in front, like doing what I assume is an iconic pose from the show.
Yeah, but, it is.
Yeah, so comes with multiple heads, but yeah, it's I want to delve more into this guy and mess with him and take some pictures and stuff. But
the story behind like the Hero Man show.
Was this the one with Stan Lee?
Yes, it is. Well, yeah, Stan Lee had
that's
something
all I know.
To do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very Japanese take on Americana with Stan Lee kind of guiding along the way, and he makes a mad ton of cameos in the show.
Okay,
so it's really fun though. It's if you're someone who enjoys mecha, it's just because it's such a unique design too. It's a really fun take on it all because
I really like the design. He's very Gurren Lagann-esque, especially in the head and the face. Like it looked like.
I find he reminds me of, for people who are familiar with Duo from Mega Man from the Rockman series, or like just those big hulking kind of robots.
But like it's a really really impressive figure. So I guess if you like the show or if you like the the design of the robot, I would highly recommend checking it out. He's really cool. What else do I got here? Along in that package, I also finally got my D-style Galgaigar. So haven't had a chance to build him yet, but
I'm still waiting to build mine. But there's so much painted stuff in there. I opened up the box to take a look.
Mm-hmm.
It's really well done. Yeah. Like considering there's no price hike on it, like man,
there was a little bit actually.
Well, tiny, but like it's not like we're jumped from like 20 to 50.
It wasn't huge, but yeah, he is I think the highest priced one so far. But yeah, it looks
gorgeous unassembled already. Like
yeah, I can't wait to put him together. I might delve into that this weekend. I got the two little PVCs of the Demon Sisters from Panty and Stocking. So those are really cool. The only negative thing about that was they come with stands and they don't really stand that well without them. So, but it's like whatever. So, but if you've ever watched Panty and Stocking, Demon Sisters are freaking cool. So, I got the 6-inch Chitara from Thundercats.
I am so jealous that you found so much Thundercats stuff and then was about to tweet it, and then people tweeted it, and you said, oh, it's been out for a while in the States. And I was like, God damn, what's wrong with Canada? Well, and then I saw that link, and I was like, oh, we don't get it till August?
Yeah, that kind of stinks, but at least hopefully it'll all just kind of start hitting it once, though.
I hope so. If I do any trips to the States, though, I'm going to hunt down a Mum Ride. I need that thing. It looks so good.
Yeah, so, but Chitara's pretty cool. She's definitely far and above better than that stupid 4-inch. That was just kind of a horrible figure overall.
Yeah, I'm happy she actually, like, when you tweeted the pics, like, I didn't keep up with news, so I didn't even know if she was, like, I know they had plans, but it's still Bandai of America, so I was like, I haven't heard anything for such a long time, I wonder if maybe it all just fell apart, and then your twit pics actually really energized me up. I was like, oh, goddamn, no, it's coming out, it's still there. Yeah. All right.
So, her legs are articulated fairly well. The only thing that she's really missing is an ankle rotation, but she has an ankle roll that's absolutely insane. Like, her feet, the flat of her feet can go straight 180 degrees to either side. So, it's pretty good. She has a good range of motion in her hips, and she has thigh swivels. So, her arms could really use a bicep swivel. It's kind of unfortunate she doesn't have one, but that's really, yeah, but you know, it's, she gets by. It would have been nice if she had it, but it doesn't ruin the figure or anything. But yeah, she's pretty good. One cool thing too is that her staff comes with the upgraded staff that she gets from the forest, if you've seen that. So it has the little emblem on it, whatever it is. So I didn't notice that until I had opened it up. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That actually they have that molded in. So have you gotten that far yet?
Was that after the break?
That was before.
Sounds kind of familiar, but I'm like, I could be mixing it up with stuff I knew already.
Did you see when they fought the paper mill people?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, you're several episodes behind then.
No, I mean, after the first break, like after the library thing, or after, was it the library or the book? Like there was the awesome flashback episode, and then there was, I think, one more episode after that. Then there was like a multi-week break.
Oh yeah. You're like four episodes behind, five.
Yeah.
Episodes.
Yeah, I still have to watch everything after that multi-week break.
What is wrong with you?
I was letting it build up, like I do with all my shows.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway. So, yeah, she's cool. She has a nice silhouette. I think she looks pretty good. Her face is a little bit off, but it's far from...
Good for Bandai of America, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Like, as with many of the Thundercats toys.
Uh-huh. From the Thundercats, I also found a 4-inch Claudius, so couldn't that pass
looks,
that up.
Looks freaking huge. Claudius.
He's okay. Like, his face sculpt is a little bit off. He's got, like, a super flimsy, rubbery sword, but it's Claudius. So, I've really been avoiding the 4-inch line overall, but I couldn't pass up a version of him, so... but he's not bad. He has pretty decent posability for that size class, I think, but it's not great, but it gets by. I also got the Mum Ride because I found that.
Green envy.
It's okay. It's not bad. I think it's a little pricey for what it is. Mm-hmm. The gimmick is, you know, it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, it does some stuff really right. And then you wish it did everything that right.
Yeah.
I don't regret getting it all because either way you have a Mum Ride that looks pretty sharp and you can sit it somewhere and you have a freaking Mum Ride in your house.
Yeah. I just want, in the end,
that's what you need.
I just want the vehicle. I don't care. I know it does other stuff, but I just need that vehicle design.
Yeah. What it does is it comes with a unique version of a 4-inch Mum Ra and he has his hands kind of up. And he's got the magnet gimmick in his back. And when that magnet is attached to something, it activates a switch, which activates LEDs in his hand. So he has, like, red energy coming out of his hand, supposed to be.
Oh, cool.
But he's completely unposable. He's just basically like a little figurine. Mm-hmm. And you just... It's kind of doofy because you sit the Mum Ra, like, on his back. So he's just kind of holding his hands up, and then... The magnet activates, so he's laying in there holding his hands up, kind of growling with his hands glowing. It's like, okay. you push the button on the Mum Ride, and which is actually called the Storm Charger for
noobs.
Just to get that out of the way.
Yeah.
But and the mask pops up. You stick him in there, and as you roll the Mum Ride, the mask will kind of slowly ratchet down until it's closed. But the whole time that he's in there, his hands are sticking up and glowing. But the cool part is because those hands kind of correspond to where the eyes are on the mask on the top of the Mum Ride. So while he's in there, the eyes from the inside glow. So it's not as bright as maybe it could be. But if you stick it in the dark room, it has this subtle glowing effect in it. It looks kind of cool. Yeah, I mean, really the only reason why there's a Mum Ride in there is basically to activate a light gimmick in the vehicle mode, but it's still cool. And you know, the way the mask lifts up and stuff feels kind of flimsy, but with the wheels and everything, the bottom of the figure actually feels pretty heavy and solid. So it's like worst case scenario, you can always just imagine that you have a Mum Ride that doesn't open and it still feels pretty solid and looks pretty cool. And if you can justify that for $30, then you should get it.
If it ever ends up showing up on Amazon for cheaper, like the Thunder Tank briefly did, mm-hmm. I will have to bite my pride and get someone in my own continent to middleman one, I think.
Yeah.
Because if that thing shows up on Amazon for like 20 shipped or 15 shipped, I'll be like, hey, someone, mm-hmm. somebody.
Yep. But I'm still glad I got it just because it looks awesome. And yeah. I was in Dan Norton, the art director for the new Thundercats show. Me and you and Andy and Nicole, we stood in his office while he was designing that in CAD. So I feel a bit close to that design. I think it's kind of cool because I got to see all that stuff before most. So
that's another reason why I'm so jazzed about it, because, like, you know, he's the one who said the Mum Ride.
Yep.
So, I mean, I also, like you, I feel like I have a little bit of a personal attachment to it now.
We didn't even, I mean, I don't even think they used the name Storm Charger. I didn't even hear about that until, like,
the toy box?
Toy Solicits. Well, Toy Solicits started coming out. They talked about it. I know Bandai had mentioned the name in an interview, but, like, the whole time we were at Warner Brothers, they didn't call it anything other than the Mum Ride. I think they even said, they're like, yeah, it's got another name, but we don't use it. Like, they didn't even mention it. I'm glad that I got it. And I also got a few Marvel Minimates. I found the Toys R Us exclusive Heralds of Galactus. It's just like Galactus and like three of his former Heralds. But one thing that I didn't even know was out was I found today. It was a Armored Thor and Beta Ray Bill. So now I have a little mini mate horse face Beta Ray Bill. Because you cannot pass up Beta Ray Bill in any form if you see him on a peg. I'm sorry.
No, Beta Ray Bill is top tier. He's in the Annihilators.
Yep. So, and that's what I got.
All right. Seth, what did you get that wasn't Transformers?
Oh, I got a few things.
Oh!
So I managed to stumble across some Iron Man figures I never saw in the store previously.
Yeah, the late wave stuff apparently was just, it was either nowhere or in thrift stores and then nowhere.
Yeah, well, I found these at a hobby shop. Well, I found them at a hobby shop. So they were kind of pricey. They were like $10 a shot. So I only got one. I got the Mandarin. And he'd be pretty cool if they put his legs together properly.
No, he's just, you know, he had some bad dim sum, and he's...
Yeah, they did the thing where they put the lower left leg on the right upper leg, so, and vice versa, so his feet kind of stick out at inappropriate angles. But he has a cool, like, kind of soft plastic mask that pops on and off. Comes with, like, this electrical, crackling electricity scimitar. But his armor's nicely detailed. Kind of a old-school Chinese armor look.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that little guy. Then I got a much bigger Iron Man. I got a... the Reveltech War Machine.
How is that?
They made a lot of improvements, I feel, over the Iron Man.
Hmm.
So the head and neck kind of still work the same, like that's the same, but where that Iron Man had, or Iron Man had like that softer plastic, like ab section.
Yeah.
War Machine has like a harder plastic that's like segmented. So when you like ab crunch them, the segments fold over each other.
That sounds
cool. The way that you imagine they should. And he's just like really thick and bulky, which is pretty good. So he has like the two machine guns on his arms and the one that pops up over his back. And so you get three pairs of hands, fists relaxed, and then like the palm open repulsor blast kind of pose. And then you get three like a gun effect pieces. So mm-hmm. you could set him up so it looks like all his guns are going nuts. And then like a bullet belt that attaches the gun to his backpack, but I don't have that attached right now. But he just feels so much more solid than the last Iron Man. And I hope some of these improvements carry over to the upcoming Iron Man figure, which is a different version of the suit. And a Robert Downey Jr. head.
Oh, is that the whatever mark they haven't done yet? Like the Mark III?
Yeah, it's a Mark III. They're also doing a Mark II, which is like the unpainted all silver one. And so that from what I could tell, that's exactly the same mold, just different colors. Mm-hmm. And they both come with the Robert Downey Jr. heads.
Cool.
So it's good. If you're into Reveltech and you're into Iron Man and you're into War Machine, then why wouldn't you be getting this?
In fact, you should be getting it right now. Where have you been this whole time?
Exactly. Then, let's see what's next. Is that it? Is it just these and then this alone? Hey, man. I get an email that FedEx had been by and left a door hanger. So that means something from 3A got shipped.
Uh-oh! Thank goodness they didn't use FedEx in my country.
And in typical 3A fashion, now apparently I always need to sign for it.
Oh, good!
And once they don't send your email notifications when things are shipping, it's just, you don't know it's coming until the door hanger's hung. But they got lucky. The FedEx driver came back later the same day to try again. So I guess they didn't have anything else to do. Because, man, the UPS people around here, they ain't coming back. They'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, that's great. Like, I have the same problem with my Sideshow thing. They were like, they had the option on the card of leave this outside and we'll leave it at your house, except there's a huge sticker over top saying, not allowed. So I had to sign for it. Which meant my stupid exodus had to go on. But.
Yeah. So anyway, it is the Mark III Birdie.
Oh, yeah, I saw that in your Twit pics. That looks big.
Yeah. It's almost as... Well, it's roughly as tall as a large Martin. Just like if you put a lion over the tops of their heads... The large Martin then becomes a little larger because his howitzers stick up past the top of his head.
Mm-hmm.
But just head to head, yeah. So I was surprised how much taller these Mark III Birdies are. Which, I don't know, almost kind of makes them too big.
on the bright side, at least it's a good value proposition for the $70.
Yeah, but I mean, just... altogether, like it sort of diminishes the large Martin, and I haven't put it side by side with an Armstrong yet, but I'll have to get to that one of these days. And then there's a couple squares on it. There's one on its back and one on its arm that looks like QR codes. I should try scanning it and see if anything happens.
I was going to ask you how the figure itself felt. Like, does it feel like it's a decent mold on the portable scale?
Yeah. I mean, the hands, the fingers, man, he's got long fingers.
Not as long as Zaku's. That guy has long fingers.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about that. His name is Julian.
Oh, cool. Cool.
That's the name written under the eye. Man, he has 5 pouches that go around, and these are new pouches. Like they're just not like the same old pouches.
Mm-hmm.
They all go, well, not all of them, but 4 of the 5 have zippers. They all have the little clips. They're pretty crazy. And he comes with a gigantic shotgun. I mean, the shotgun is huge. Already, but then when you consider how big this thing would be in real life, this shotgun would mess up a lot of stuff.
it really makes me want to see the 6-scale one in person, because when I saw a couple videos of it, it already looked enormous. And in photos, like, I guess it's because I've seen a tiny little, like, normal birdie. Like, in photos, that thing doesn't look as big as it actually is, to me at least.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was surprised at exactly how big it was. And now I'm not sure if I really want like the other model type that has the big cannons.
Well, even bigger.
Yeah. Cause now it's like, ugh. So, I mean, we'll see how it goes, but it seems like that's what they're doing now, is making bigger versions or bigger marks.
Mm-hmm.
Because they revealed those pictures just, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, of the king, what was it?
The Mighty Square.
Mighty Square.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing. Holy crap.
10-inch tall.
Yeah.
And
did you notice the change? It's not smiling. It looks like it's in pain. It doesn't look happy at all.
I didn't notice that.
Portable scale.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, yeah, it's got like the, it looks like it's going.
That actually kind of makes me more interested in it, just because it's a square that's not happy. It's like, help me.
No, it looks like it's having a bad day.
I'm glad to hear the toy turned out well, because I missed out on the Iron Panda one, and I was going to try to track it down on the aftermarket, and now I feel better about doing that.
The Iron Panda, I thought they only did the GEA.
No, they had an Iron Panda one on Bamaland for like about a week, but I couldn't afford it. And then it disappeared, and I was like, someone's not going to want it.
Did that have the big shoulder guns, or?
I can't remember anymore. I don't think it did, but I have to look it up.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think why I chose GEA over Panda.
Oh, it's maybe, because Panda came out, I think, at least a month, if not longer, after the JEA one.
Oh, yeah, and then I was already committed to this one. Yeah, it did have the big guns, because, okay, now I remember. Because if it did have the big guns, I probably would have ordered it.
Yeah.
But if it was just the same deal in a different color, then that made it easier to pass at the time.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that, I'm just going to go hit up Kid Robot when it comes out and just go like, hey, who wants to sell me it for like $80? And then, blang.
I'm running out of all these pre-orders on Bamboland now.
Yeah.
All that I have left is that Bomb Square, and I got the membership thing.
So did I.
Yeah, I know.
I thought about it, and I was like, I'll give him a chance this year.
Well, that figure it's coming with looks pretty cool.
I like the figure. Like, there are some people going like, I don't like that figure. And I was like, no, I can see why I wouldn't like it. But it's got robot hands and a hood and a baseball
robot
bat.
Head.
Yeah, and a robot head. So I was like, for someone price broke down that thing, like, given that you get a figure of whatever kind of messenger bag and a hat, and they priced it out, and it kind of made sense if you buy at least one other thing this year. So I was like, they'll probably release at least one thing I want. And then I was like, or if I go crazy, I might get a Rex, and then it'll help to have a discount if I get a Rex. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's going to help. Oh, yeah.
And hey, yo, now I can be part of the Legion, yo. And I could be all like, hey, Legionnaires, what's up? We all Legion.
Yeah, you're going to have to start posting on their message board, too.
I posted there before. I was all like, hey, here's my Armstrong.
And they were all like, you're emo.
Yeah.
And then you were like, don't say that.
I'm not emo, you're not. And then I flipped
don't
the table.
Don't call me emo, that's not nice. I
knocked a chair.
That's not nice to call people emo.
Took a rolling chair and just pushed it off the roof. And like, I'm out. And just like walked away.
Yeah, I knew he would be out.
Did you get anything else?
No. I don't think so. I'm stalling to look around to make sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was it. If I forgot something, it wasn't important enough to remember.
All right. Okay. Protoman, did you buy stuff that wasn't Transformers? And if so, why?
One video game. That's about it.
What video game did you get?
Mario for 3DS.
I still have to get that because I have a 3DS, so I really should.
Mine's still in the Saran. I haven't got around to it yet.
I still have to beat the last boss of 3D Zelda. And I got to the last boss of 3D Zelda last fall. And I've never...
Like Ganondorf?
Yeah, and I was
that's
like, oh.
That's not difficult, though.
I know, but I was like, oh, I gotta take a break, because I'm traveling, okay. And I just never picked it up again.
Like, I don't know, it's after Christmas, so it's quiet.
Yeah.
BotCon is gonna be the big cash throw, and until some new Prime toys show up and stuff. And
yeah, over here in Central Canada, we got everything. We're like, yeah, we're done.
No, like the RID.
Yeah, yeah.
Calling it RID now, but whatever. Robots in the Sky. Red packaging, whatever.
I gotta say, I like the blue more.
Me too.
It felt
it was slick.
It looked
the chrome.
Yeah, it looked high class. I really like the first edition boxes.
And now we're gonna have no more stands or whatever the hell it comes with.
I don't think anyone's gonna miss those.
I don't think anyone's gonna miss those.
Except for me, because I actually now have more stands than I do figures that I bought.
Oh man.
Because Random Factor didn't use the stands for his Voyagers, so I took them.
You know what's sad? The Voyager stands are smaller than the Deluxe stands.
I know, but I was like, I don't want to...
Which makes a lot of sense.
I was like, if you're not going to use those stands, I'm sure I can use those stands, and I just have a stack of stands on a bookshelf.
You know, we used to always get stands. It was called the interior packaging. Now they just put a name for it.
I know, and now that they have a name, I want to keep them, but I don't know why. They're not even personalized.
Stupid stands. That's all I got.
And that's Super Mario Land 3.
Yeah, still in the wrap.
Stands. All right. Yeah. Well, that is our episode then. Thank you all for listening very much. If you want to leave us a voicemail, the number is 318-775-9830. 318-775-9830. Daniel, do me one.
Do you one what?
Say the number.
Nine. What is the number? I don't know.
He just said it twice.
Sorry. Wasn't paying attention.
Canada!
Yeah. We use our ice phones.
That's 318-9. I just closed the notepad thing because I clicked the wrong button. 318-775-9830. Yeah, I have it written down in front of me. Many thanks for listening. Many thanks, Gog and Seth, both for this week and for your vigilant work last week, overcoming the odds of nobody being there when you wanted to have a third person. Came out great. And thank you, Proto Man, for sitting in this week.
Love to do it.
It's a good time. So we will talk to you again. This is WTF and TFW 183-180 Throut.
That was horrible.
I know. All right, I'm going to put stuff.